talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective. Just FYI, word of warning. If you don't like loud noises and you value your eardrums, it might be a good idea to turn the volume down or off. So, yeah. Oh my god! I can't wait!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Test.
All right, so...
Cleo, you're a dumb bitch. Shut the f*** up. Get off the radio and go run.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's a band.
You know, I got... Betty White on this edition of Larry King. Do you consider yourself a new sex symbol for the younger generation?
It's not that I consider myself that. I just have to concede the point.
Girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
And now, anyone ever tell you you can be a real buzzkill?
Yes.
Our feature presentation.
All right, party people, back in action for a Monday. Your telephone call is coming up in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number. You can call it from anywhere that you can hear. The Kevin and Bean Show, get on the air, get a prize. How are you guys?
Hey, welcome back.
Hi,
you,
Lisa.
And Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
Last week was one of the stranger weeks on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It sounded by the emails and the texts and the snippets of the podcast that I listened to. It sounded exciting.
Yes, it was. It was exciting. Yeah. We never knew what was going to happen next. We never knew who was going to be here, who wasn't going to be here.
It may have been a mistake to send the guys who don't drink away at the same time. Maybe you needed somebody with a clear head in there every day just to try to keep, if nothing else, directing traffic.
That did occur to me, yes.
And it's not only that we don't drink, it's that we're both the buzzkills. I mean, we really are. Like
the buzz did get out of control, yeah. I have to admit.
Sounds like it. Well, I can't wait to hear about it. I understand that their Vomit by Noon lived up to its name on St. Patrick's Day. I heard that.
Completely. And there were people that didn't start at 6 that managed to vomit by noon. There were people that started at like 10:30 that were vomiting by noon.
Also, by the sound of things, Gaga is the best intern ever.
That might have been who I was referring to.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, she was something.
I'll tell you what, one thing I've noticed about working at the Kevin and Bean Show is there's not a lot of "this is my job and it's important that I get it right" attitude flowing through anybody who either works at the radio station or interns for the station. There's none of that. I better keep my nose clean here and get a good job done so that I get a nice review or continue to get paid.
I think part of it is our fault because, like with Beer Mug. You know, who didn't show up the day after St. Patrick's Day. He felt terrible. In fact, he tweeted over the weekend, he still feels terrible about it. And the truth is, best break ever.
Yeah.
So, really?
You know, what can you say? It's like, well, that you should have come in. But best break ever, Birma. of course you still have a job. What are you, crazy?
He blacked out in a bush, if I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I rented over the weekend, Blackout of Bush. Pretty good. Pretty good movie.
I think it's totally different. He had, like, thorn cuts still
his
on his forearms.
His arm was covered in cuts.
Morning,
he had his thumb in a splint. He did something to that. I don't know.
How does that happen?
What his name was, but that's not good.
Well, I think you're right that the attitude works from the top down. And we don't exactly drill that into people that it's important to be professional at all times.
No.
How can we? We're not the guys to be able to
exactly
put a hard line up. It's not us, right?
Nope, that's not you.
We're not good examples.
No.
So it sounds like I missed a heck of a time, though.
You would have hated it.
Yeah.
You missed a heck of a time, but you would not have had fun.
It does sound like perhaps it was the best series of broadcasts that I'm so grateful I wasn't a part of. I think
exactly.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. That is the telephone number. We are going to get to your calls in 1 second. By the way, I think that I may have to move to Mexico, you guys. I think Mexico may be the answer.
It's pretty great, right?
Yeah. You know, most of what I know about Mexico is what I see on the news, which is all border town gangland slings.
Right.
And who, by the way, Mike, you saw at South by Southwest,
right? They ripped. They're a metal trio.
But once you get, 200 miles past the border, you start to get into the heartland of Mexico, and you got tremendous weather, tremendous food, beautiful beaches, lots of open space, fairly inexpensive. I think I'm going to move down there and be a bandito.
Do you have to be a bandito?
When I think Bean, I think bandito. I can see him with a bandana on his face, just rolling around robbing people, living that lifestyle, you know? A rambler.
I totally think I'm going to move to Mexico and be a bandito. I think that's my new plan. I mean, why? I could do the show from there, right?
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, look, you do the show from 1,000 miles away as is. Why not just make it southbound instead of northbound?
Go in the other direction, exactly. So I've got some work to do on that plan, but I think I'm gonna look into that. All right, hey, let's take your calls. Let's give away a prize. It's Kevin Abeen's What to Do Nephew for a Monday. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What to do, nephew?
So intern Gaga is the best, which may explain why I still don't have the prizes to give away. Psycho Mike, do you have a
It is a brand new spanking Kevin and Bean t-shirt.
Yay.
Alrighty.
Sounds good. Let's try Mike on line one to get us going here for a new week. Mike, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What it do, nephew?
Hey, what it do, boys and girls?
What it do?
Hey, last night, I'm a leader in a youth group, and we took the kids out to go see the No Cussing Week kid.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Was he speaking somewhere?
Well, I didn't know that's where he was speaking when I agreed to go until I got there. And so it's all fine and good. That's what he wants to do. Fine. I mean, now he wants to go to Washington next year and now get a no cussing week for the nation. But
we have to stop that.
Yeah. So I mean, now that he's got California on board, because I guess the California Assembly approved it.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so now he's going national. But what I'm calling about was what happened after the meeting. This kid, I mean, there's about 700 kids there last night. And afterwards, there were girls lined up out the door to meet him. Give them his number. Get his number. The girls who we went home with last night, they were all going nuts about, oh, I got his email address. I'm going to call him. And that's like, and this guy was in heaven.
He's like a rock star now?
Oh, as Ralph will attest, I mean, Kappa girls will drop it in a heartbeat. These girls were just going nuts over this kid.
Now, do you think it's that even though he's dorky, that he has some level of fame, and that's what's attractive to them, is he's, you know, somebody that's in the public eye, and they feel like, hey, it looks good for me if I can nab that guy?
Well, it's like, you know what, I think that has a lot to do with it. It's like, girls like fame, girls like power. But you know what, for him, I think he's kind of like, you know what, I'm liking the attention. Because, I mean, it's one thing to sit there. He even said, hey, the club, we sit there and we don't cuss. That's the club. And that's it. And but now that it's gotten bigger and bigger, I think he's gotten the attention. He likes the attention, and he keeps getting more attention. And now he's showing up to these, I mean, going out and speaking in public. And they're lined up out the door to meet him, and he was walking away with hundreds of numbers.
Yeah, he needs to be anonymously beat up. That's what needs to happen to that kid. I'm sorry. That's just
But you know what? Good gig. He's got a good gig.
Yeah,
yeah. Who would have expected that to happen?
I mean, I think he's getting the attention of people that are at this youth group. I don't think girls overall, especially high school age girls, or giving McKay Hatch.
Yeah, but it sounds like he's getting enough from this, you know, from the events like the one that the Mike is talking about. So it's like he's getting enough chicks. He doesn't need to appeal to them.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right. No. Look, it's more chicks than I got when I was in, you know. Like,
exactly. All right, Mike, great call. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Let's try Christian. Christian is on line 6. If you want to get in on Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, pick up the phone. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Christian.
Hey, good morning. What to do, nephew? What to do, baby?
What to do?
What to do?
Hey, I had a chance to get home about an hour earlier than normal the last couple weeks, working a little bit closer to home, and came home a few times and turned on the TV. My wife left it on a certain channel that morning, and there's this chick on TV, and her name's Wendy Williams, and I'm pretty sure that's a dude. I mean, it's RuPaul's, you know, like, riding partner or something.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And what an obnoxious bitch she is, too, by the way.
I would completely agree.
Oh, my God. And that show, it doesn't seem real. It looks like a Saturday Night Live parody of a talk show.
Yeah, I only watched the clips on
The Soup.
On The Soup. And it's unbelievable that she's still on the air.
Yeah.
I really considered throwing a brick through the TV, but it's a little too near.
she was really, really popular in New York City radio for a long time, and then they gave her a TV show, and I guess it's doing really well. I mean, look, you know, God bless my ex-girlfriend Tyra Banks. She's turned into a man, but she looks feminine compared to Wendy Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's Heidi Klum compared to Wendy
right,
Williams.
Right, exactly. No, that's a good tip. I'm glad you called about that, Christian. That's a good tip for the kids to stay away from if they're sitting at home during the day and they've got the remote in their hand. Don't watch Wendy Williams because you'll regret it, right?
You'll have bad dreams.
She's a beast.
Well said.
And there's got to be some kind of test that they can issue, kind of like the Olympics or something before they... She just towers over every single guest. God forbid they get, you know, like the Little People Big World as guests or something.
I know.
That would just be freakish.
She's 100% all about Wendy Williams on that show. You're absolutely right. She doesn't care what anybody is saying or doing as long as she is. So
she needs to be put down with an elephant, guys.
Good tip. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. All right, big program today. It didn't get a lot of publicity because it wasn't announced until late in the day yesterday, but Tiger Woods sat down for an interview with ESPN. And it came out last week that he is going to return to golf. He's going to be playing the Masters coming up here pretty soon. So he knows that there are going to be people asking questions. So it's probably the best thing he can do is get out there, give some interviews so that people get at least the most basic questions asked of him.
Right.
We've got highlights of that interview for you coming up today if you have not heard it. He does not sound like a very happy little man.
No, he does not.
I'll tell you that. Also, we'll check in with our friend Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Radio. He, of course, all weekend long did nothing but watch basketball, and there was plenty to watch. An unbelievable opening weekend for the NCAA college men's basketball tournament. So we'll talk to Andrew on the way. What's up with the fattest woman in the world intentionally trying to gain hundreds of pounds to weigh 1,000 pounds?
All right.
What's up with that? A recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice, back with a new crop of quote-unquote celebrities. We got a recap of that, TMZ.com, with Harvey Levin on the program today. And one of the stars of Hot Tub Time Machine, Rob Corddry, will be here on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
It must be some kind of Hot Tub Time Machine.
I haven't seen that movie. It looks funny, and I love Rob. So all that coming up. Plus, Ralph checks the showbiz beat for you every hour, including coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ. It's 5:49. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman, proud racehorse owner. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Just getting caught up during the song there about what I missed for St. Patrick's Day. Apparently, you bought a horse. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm
unexpected, right?
Owner of a thoroughbred racehorse.
Yeah.
A 2-year-old colt named Sharktopus.
How did that happen? What's the
listen,
story
if you're
there?
Not going to listen to your own show, we can't spend the next week filling you in on what happened.
No, I did. I listened to the podcast.
Well, it wasn't
on there.
What happened.
It wasn't. Oh, I see. That's what happened. That's all the preface I need to know. Yeah. Is that well, your few Guinness is down at that point.
Well, yeah, we talked to the trainer of that horse the next day, and we got into an explicit conversation about how I got roped into this. So
that's fantastic.
So the podcast for Thursday. Tune in the podcast for Thursday. It's all explained to you. It's very fascinating.
Smashing Pumpkins, Rise Against, brand new music from STP, all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, though, time for our first look at the showbiz beat.
It's Monday. We look at the top 10 movies in the box office. Alice in Wonderland continues to be a juggernaut when it comes to the box office receipts. $34.5 million made it number one yet again this week. Right behind that was Diary of a Wimpy Kid, popular book series made into a feature film, did very well for itself, made about $22 million, good enough to make it number two. Then The Bounty Hunter. A lot of ladies drug a lot of their boyfriends and husbands to go see the romantic comedy with Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler. $21 million, made it number three. Repo Men, in its debut, only made $6.2 million, despite our riveting interview with Forrest Whitaker.
It's disappointing.
She's Out of Our League was fifth. She's Out of My League, rather. It was fifth. Green Zone, Shutter Island, Avatar, Our Family Wedding, and Remember Me, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. For those of you who are keeping track, Alice in Wonderland has now made $566 million.
Whoa! And I don't know anyone who loved it. I'll tell you that.
No.
Everyone I know that has seen it has said, yeah, it's good.
Former Alias star Michael Vartan.
We haven't seen him in a while.
It has been a while.
He's handsome.
He's a good-looking fellow.
Yeah.
And a good hockey player. He is engaged to an actress named Lauren Scar, who starred in a series called Hawthorne, which may still be on. I don't know.
No idea.
Jada Pinkett Smith as a nurse.
Right.
I know the premise, I know the star, but I don't know what the current condition of that show. But apparently, they became engaged 2 weeks ago in New York City. They plan to get married next year. It'll be the first marriage for both. Of course, Michael famously dated Jennifer Garner, mm-hmm. his co-star from Alias, before that all fell apart. So, good for him. Hope this Lawrence Carr is hot. I'm guessing she is.
Yeah.
Speaking of relationships, the Sandra Bullock, Jesse James debacle continues on this week. Michelle Bombshell McGee. Bombshell McGee, by the way, was my fight name back when I was a scrappy welterweight. Apparently, her friend, who works with her at the Pure Platinum Strip Club in San Diego, California, is really unhappy about all the negative things that are being said about her friend and co-worker, Bombshell McGee. She tells Us Weekly magazine that Bombshell has morals and class. Well, we could all tell that by the tattoo on her face, couldn't we?
Yes, you're right.
I wasn't here last week when the story broke. I was very, very sad and, of course, hoped that it was not true. But this is one of those deals where she gave herself the nickname Bombshell. Nobody looked at that woman. Tattoos aside, by the way, not a pretty girl. Not a bombshell by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, she looks... I mean, I've seen her, you know...
She looks like Marilyn Manson, Lisa.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't
yes.
think that's true at all.
I think she's kind of hot. I but
think
I
she's
would,
hot.
She's
I wouldn't,
hot.
I wouldn't consider her a bombshell, but she's hot.
But well, she's look, sure not what you're
bombshell
saying.
Bombshell comes from Michelle being right. her last name. People right. call her Shell, and so she got the nickname Bombshell. It really has less to do with her looks and more to do with her name.
Yeah, and super hot bod. I mean, yeah. maybe a 10 bod.
Yeah, killer. And the face would be better without, you know...
A tattoo on it?
Pray for our sinners on her forehead written in script.
Now, forgive me if you debated this last week, but the $30,000 she got paid for the interview, that's why she did it. She's not just trying to bring down Jesse James. It was just an opportunity to make a lot of money, right? That's why she ruined their lives
well,
with the coming public?
Don't know for sure, but I'm sure that was a big part
certainly
of it.
Certainly contributed, yeah. yes. Although, I don't know if they found out about the affair and went to her with the offer, or whether she had that in her back pocket and went to them.
Yeah.
Whether
yeah.
she shopped it around or not, that remains to be seen.
Above and beyond the money, though, I'm sure a girl like her who's, you know, an adult dancer and has covered
She's a tattoo model.
Oh, sorry.
Professional tattoo model.
Has covered
I've seen her
body
dressed as a Nazi.
In tattoos. She's loving the fact that she's on every website
oh,
more than
yeah.
she's loving the money. You
sure.
know, she's getting the attention she so desperately yeah. craves.
If it doesn't work out for me being a bandito in Mexico, which is my new career path, I'm going to be a tattoo model. That's my backup to my backup.
You're good at both.
You should. Bug life.
That's right.
Rosie O'Donnell has decided she wants to do another syndicated daytime talk show.
No,
but
no thank you.
Now that Oprah's hanging it up, she says that she would like to get back onto television. The new show, however, would focus on her charity causes and pet political causes and less celebrity interviews.
Okay.
That's what we want. We want Rosie flapping her gums about her charities and her political viewpoints.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's having a hard time getting interest from local stations.
Huh.
She said she would like to take Oprah's time slot. However, many of those stations have already announced they are going to replace Oprah with news or locally produced programs and remind Rosie that once she got political on her own talk show, that's when people stopped watching, so she might want to rethink that.
And she also is not compelling when she gets political either. She's just an annoying shrew, as we learned during her year on The View.
Yeah. And sad news, actress Brittany Murphy. More details about the end of her life. Apparently, she was cut off by her local pharmacy in the months before her death. TMZ.com reports that she was getting at least 200 pills every month from a place called Eddie's Pharmacy nearby her house. Using a fake name, Lola Manilow Murphy, she would get as many as 400 pills a month before the pharmacy finally caught her up about 4 months before her death. We thought there was going to be an accident there, a pharmacy spokesperson told TMZ, and so they refused to service her any longer. They were concerned about the amount of pills that she was taking on a daily basis. So,
wow.
Although she did pass away from... a legitimate medical concern, apparently. Sure, her body was compromised by a certain amount of drug usage, so.
Yeah.
Bad news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Drummer John Otto of Limp Bizkit is 33 years old today. Actress Reese Witherspoon turns 34. Matthew Modine.
Yeah.
Very talented actor is 51. I can't help but think of him and think of Jiminy Glick and his four children.
Oh, yeah.
I have four boys, Mason, Morgan, Matthew, and Modine.
That's right.
Lena Olin is 55 years old today.
Yeah.
Sportscaster Bob Costas is 58 years old. And William Shatner,
oh,
one of our favorites. favorites around here, celebrates his 79th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, Kevin and Bean Show, 604. It's Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have some highlights of last night's Tiger Woods interview on ESPN. By the way, Lisa, if you haven't heard the interviewer yet, tell me if this doesn't sound like one of those police shows where they got the guy who's who's been arrested and he's in the room with the detective who's trying to extract information from him. Listen to this guy. Tell me this guy isn't a cold-blooded son of a bitch asking Tiger the questions.
What was your wife's reaction when you sat down and had that first conversation?
Sure. I mean, come on with that. Sounds like a villain on 24. What's that deal?
No kidding.
So, we'll hear more highlights from Tiger coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I have been out of the loop because I was on vacation last week, as was Psycho Mike. We were both going at the same time. But apparently there's some sort of invasion of the body snatchers happening. The fear is that I've been lost, or I have somehow my personality has been sucked out of my body and injected into Mike's, and not in the sexual way as he might have enjoyed.
Yeah. You know, Lisa, when you watch the movies about zombies or any of the living dead, there's the one good guy, like the sidekick who gets scratched or gets bit,
right?
And he's like, I need you to kill me, man,
right?
Because it's only a matter of time before I turn into one of them. No matter how much you love me, I need you to just put a bullet right between my eyes, because it's only a matter of time.
And then he does it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, he knows
you have
no
to.
Matter how much you care about, you know, in the Will Smith movie about the end of the world, he looks down at his dog who he loves so much, it's his only friend,
right?
But he knows,
right.
He knows it's only a matter of time before that dog turns into a big beast that's going to eat him up.
Well,
I need
it's
you
like
to kill me. I
it's
need
like
you to kill me.
What?
Saeed has been taken over by the smoke monster.
Yeah.
He's evil now, and that's why they tried to kill him, is because they see where he's headed. It sounds like Mike is heading the same
Mike.
Direction.
But
whoever's
but
why, here, someone with a shotgun, just come on in and do it now. Because.
But why is your infection me, though? That's what I don't understand. What's that about?
I don't know. But I'm a young, happening guy. From what I can tell, and you know, when I look in the mirror, I see it, and my behavior indicates otherwise. I am a pathetic man. I'm pathetic. I'm old, and I'm useless.
All right. So let's go back to what happened.
I was on vacation. Okay.
And you haven't been on vacation in ages.
No. I love my work here. I'm happy to have this job, and I don't get a chance to get away. When I do, I wanted to really take advantage of it, so I went to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
It's a party.
Paradise.
Day and night.
Paradise for people who like live music and partying and fun. Well, I didn't do any of that, really.
What?
I didn't so much go see any live
what?
Music at all.
What?
I didn't really.
What?
Well, and when I did go out at night, I was annoyed by all the people, the groups of people. I was.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and
but Mike, hang on a sec here. First of all, South by Southwest, very hip event. Everybody, you know, a lot of people listening would love to have gone to that because it's the opportunity to see, you know, 50 bands a day. But you had to know when you went that. You weren't going to be the only one there, that it was going to be super crowded. I mean, tens of thousands of people descend upon Austin every year for this festival.
Paper,
so you knew it was going to be crowded,
on
right?
On paper, it looked great. Looked great to me. I love music. Love live music. But then I got there. It's just too many people. Too loud. Too loud.
There's like, man, so were there shenanigans?
I didn't go see Muse. I didn't go see
were there
Muse.
Hijinks?
I didn't go see Metric. I went to see the nation's first steam train, Lisa.
What?
I went to see the nation's first steam train is what I did. Then I went to the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library and Presidential Museum.
Okay, I've been there. That's kind of cool.
It's still
I've
the nation's
there,
only free presidential library. I was having a good old time.
What? You can, right. You have to deliberately try not to see live music, to not see live music.
Yeah. That is very true.
And not only that, but I went to the Texas State Historical Museum, where I saw a two-hour movie in IMAX about the rise of Texas.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I know.
But hold on a sec. I don't understand. If you're going to go to Austin because you want to go to the, you know, go to the Presidential Museum and see the steam train and all that kind of stuff, why go during the week of South by Southwest? It seems like the worst possible week to be there.
I think.
This was not your plan, right? You were not intending to go there and then go to the museums.
No, I was going to get a mixed bag. I was hoping to get a little, you know, museum action.
Yeah.
And then at night,
and
it,
some
you know,
music.
And at night, really cut loose. And, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you go to clubs here all the time and listen to music.
Yeah. Yeah, but I. Listen,
what's the story that I heard secondhand about you literally screaming at kids on your lawn? Like you were
what?
At the hotel and there were people making noise outside your hotel that you were screaming at.
There were two points where I really noted, I really knew that this, it's over for me. And number one was there were kids stomping the yard. in the hotel area, like in the parking lot slash kind of lobby area of the hotel I was staying at 3:34 in the morning. Okay,
because they're drunk.
Now it is South by Southwest. Everybody there is drunk and hammered and having a good time. So I was putting up with a little bit of it.
But it's 24-hour party people that
after
week. That's
it goes
true.
On for 5-10 minutes, I walk out there in my boxers and I'm screaming at him. Okay,
this is like going to Mardi Gras and then yelling at people at 3 in the morning for being drunk.
I know. I'm kidding.
Put those stupid beads away and put your top back on.
What are you, crazy?
I'm like, hey, come on. I know you're having fun and all, but it's 3:30 in the goddamn morning. And yell at them.
Oh, my God.
And they looked at me as if I was from another planet. And
did you wave a newspaper at them or anything like that?
I might
Mike,
as well.
What's happening?
And this is it. This is really the straw that broke the camel's back. Are you ready for this?
What?
While I was on vacation in another town where maybe the biggest entertainment festival in the world is happening, I went to lunch with Kevin and Bean fans that I met through Twitter.
Oh, no.
And Jordan and his buddies were awesome guys, and they thank you for, hometown awesome people for showing me around and having a good time with me. But
no.
I, as I'm sitting there, I was like, I am Bean Baxter. I'm Bean.
And by the way, and Mike says that because remember how much I got mocked last summer on vacation in Finland when I went to visit Kevin and Bean fan number one, Mats Hagbeck, remember?
Yes, yes.
And you guys were
and
like,
rightly
well, how
so.
How do you have time on your vacation to hook up with a Kevin and Bean lister? Apparently now Mike is doing the same thing.
Dude, Kat was there.
Oh, yeah. Kat did it right.
Kat always does it right.
Kat's passed out by the pool at 7 a.m. She's texting me. She's like, I'm at Stubbs. I'm watching your greatest band. You got to go. So a couple times I actually made an effort to I took a cab into town and I made an effort and I get to, the general vicinity of Stubbs or whatever bar or club she's at. And I look at the line, and there's a bunch of people in the street, and they're all having fun and making a lot of noise. And I got back in a cab, and I went home,
no!
and I watched Lost. Or I went.
This is tragic.
I know.
I can't believe this.
Mike has become big.
Like I said, Lisa, go grab that rifle.
I'm bringing in the gun.
Just put it right to my temple.
I'm gonna do it.
Well, look, as a guy who has a few more years being Bean than you do, Mike, I'm telling you that A, you will live forever, and B, you won't want to. That's where the. Oh, Perry Moore, I love Haley so much. Perry Moore is the best. Hey, listen to what's new on K-Rock this week. We're giving away tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with the band Paramore, September 19th. Already giving away tickets for a show after Labor Day. What up? That's at the Honda Center Plus. Every time you win those, you qualify for Paramore or less. More is first-class airfare to Las Vegas, a suite at the Hard Rock, the best seats in the house, and backstage passes. That's the more. The less, well, it's a Greyhound bus to the Bakersfield show. You get a room at the Motel 6, tickets in the nosebleed section, and dinner at Subway.
I'm going to both.
So we will draw the grand prize winner for you Friday morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:20. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew Siciliano joins us in about 15 minutes or so to recap all of the first weekend action for the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Unbelievable games this weekend. Lisa, I know you were just like me, parked out in front of the HD, watching basketball.
Oh, yeah. You can pull me away.
But there was a little bit of everything, man. There were some upsets. There were some unbelievably close games. There were some blowouts. It was so much fun. So anyway, we'll talk to Andrew about that coming up. Tiger Woods last night. Anyone see the interview on ESPN?
Heard a few clips this morning. That's it.
He has announced that he is coming back to golf, and he has his well-rehearsed speech out there. Most of his answers are going to be, that's private, that's personal, that's between me and Elon. But he did answer some questions about coming back to golf at the Masters. And I guess he feels like he's going to have to do this because, once he's there, he's going to be in front of fans. And he does address what the reaction is going to be like from the fans. And he's also going to kind of be required to at least talk to some people in media. I mean, that's kind of part of the deal when you're playing in the tournament, right?
Right.
So it's about time to start clearing the deck. So let's play some of the Tiger interview from ESPN last night if you missed it.
Tiger, what's the difference between the man who left Augusta National a year ago and the one who's about to return?
A lot has transpired in my life. A lot of ugly things have happened. Things that I've done some pretty bad things in my life. And all came to a head. But now...
That's an unfortunate choice of...
that's what I thought.
Way, I don't know if they're in a urinal or what the deal is, or they're standing at Niagara Falls, but it does seem like if you're doing the comeback interview with Tiger Woods, I don't know, move it away from the stream of water. It's a little bit distracting.
After treatment, going for inpatient treatment for 45 days, and in more outpatient treatment. I'm getting back to my old roots.
For a lot of people, the spark of those bad things is November 27th. Early that day, what happened?
Well, it's all in a police report. You know, beyond that, everything's between Elin and myself, and that's private.
Oh, I'm so sad to hear that. I want details on that night.
I know.
I want to know about the golf club, through the window, the car. I want to know all of that.
Damn,
but apparently, he's not going to share. I do keep waiting for someone to flush, though, but so far, no.
Why did you lose control of the car?
As I said, that's between Elin and myself.
If it's a private matter, why issue a public apology?
What do you think about this this announcer, this Rinaldi guy?
His delivery,
he's taking it very seriously.
His delivery is a little too kind of over the top. Like you said, it sounds like a police interrogation. But I got to give him credit. He asked all the questions I wanted him to ask. I mean, just rapid fire. He wasn't beating. He wasn't dancing around anything. You know, with the it didn't seem like he was trying to please Tiger with his questioning.
No.
He was asking the questions we all wanted to be to be asked.
Hardball questions, yeah. And by the way, I think there was a 5-minute time limit on the interview, too. So this is just Tiger putting his toe in a little bit, getting it wet and seeing how he can handle it. And you just know that he's got Ari Fleischer behind him, you know, who's given him a script of answers that are acceptable. And he hopes if he gives them often enough, people will stop asking and then they start talking about golf again.
Right.
But I also think the interview is a little got a little Chris Hansen in him, too, by the way. a little bit of that, a little bit of gotcha, too.
Yeah. I owe a lot of people an apology. I hurt a lot of people, not just my wife, my friends, my colleagues, the public, kids who looked up to me. There were a lot of people that thought I was a different person, and my actions were not according to that, and that's why I had to apologize. I was so sorry for what I've done.
You said you've made transgressions. Mm-hmm. How would you, in your own words, describe the depth of your infidelity?
Well, just one is enough.
Good answer, by the way.
Yeah.
Why put a number on it? Why say, well, I was 18? That doesn't serve anything. Let people wonder, right? Just say one's enough. I screwed up.
And obviously that wasn't the case. And I made my mistakes. And as I said, I've hurt so many people. And so many people I have to make an amends to. And that's living a life of amends.
You said you were in treatment. The simple question is, for what?
Well, that's a private matter as well. But
oh, come on. Give me something.
That's not that private, is it?
Also, on the heels of him going right into recovery talk, I'm going to start living a lifestyle of making amends.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
In a courtroom, you've opened the door.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now
Thank you
can step in and ask the question.
I mean, I do agree with him in a sense. He doesn't owe us anything. This is between him and his wife.
But he's
a guy who's taken this, he's made this public, and at this point, he's got to give us something. And like Lisa put it perfectly, he's opened up this door for further questioning by going into this kind of recovery talk.
Yeah.
Now, are we just assuming it's sex rehab?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's why he's pushing him. He wants to hear him say that or say something else.
Is it something else it could be? Mike, you're the king of recovery. Is there anything other than sex rehab that would have been appropriate? Because it doesn't sound like this was a drugs or alcohol issue.
No, no one knows. But they did find pill bottles, and I guess he was under the influence of certain medications when he did have that accident on November 27th. So who knows? But I think it's safe to say that for his public image, it's going to be for sex rehabilitation. Yeah. So.
Right. Which may be something he doesn't want a soundbite on the news of, I've been to sex rehab. He'd rather just, if he doesn't have to say it, why say it? I guess.
Yeah, if I were him, I probably wouldn't answer that question either.
But since you're not him, damn it.
I'm disappointed.
I also think that he was hoping for a lot better reception from the public with this whole go into rehab stint, this stunt of him going into rehab, because most people's opinion is that there's no such thing as sex rehab, but he's not getting this overwhelming public embrace that a lot of people.
He's not getting the all's forgiven, which is what he was hoping.
Which you almost always get when people go into rehab for drugs and alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, a little bit more. We're talking about Tiger Woods, his interview last night with ESPN.
But I can tell you what, it was tough. It was really tough to look at yourself in a light that you never want to look at yourself. That's pretty brutal.
What'd you see?
I saw a person that I never thought I would ever become.
Who was that?
Well, I got away from my core values, as I said earlier. I got away from my Buddhism, and I quit meditating. I quit doing all the things that my mom and dad had taught me. And as I said earlier in my statement, I felt entitled, and that is not how I was raised.
Why not seek treatment before all of this came out?
Well, I didn't know I was that bad.
Yeah, I didn't get caught, all right? That's why I didn't seek treatment, because I didn't get caught. The same reason I don't go and I don't check myself into jail before I get the DUI,
right.
Because I don't realize I've got a problem. So,
all right,
there's a little bit more. You can go to ESPN.com if you want to see the whole interview. A quick break. We'll talk all things NCAA men's college basketball with our friend Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Radio when we return right after this on the Kevin and Beach. Huge program today. Fattest woman in the world. What's up with her? Recap of last night's Celebrity Apprentice. We got TMZ.com's Harvey Levin and Rob Corddry in studio later on today from the Hot Tub Time Machine. I was following the Twitter account of one of my favorite sportscasters, Andrew Siciliano from ESPN Radio. He's on the phone right now. And Andrew, I got to tell you, after watching four solid days of college basketball, how you then had the strength to go on and watch every minute of the Lakers game. I thought at that point you've got to want to turn off your TV, right?
And you know what? It was the Lakers and Wizards, too.
I know. What's wrong with you?
It was a good Laker game. It was a Laker game in which they admittedly came out and played like, I don't know what's the word, garbage at times. They actually let the Wizards back in when they were up 28. They cut it to 8 in the fourth quarter and had to keep the starters on the court. So, everything I do it for you. You know, it's a tough job.
I appreciate that.
Basketball, yeah.
You know, it's so funny because we fell in love with you from your DirecTV Red Zone coverage of the NFL games every weekend. And this is what I imagine your home is like, is that you've got 20 TVs in your house and you've got every single NCAA basketball game on and you're watching them all at the same time, all weekend long.
And I have a lot of coffee and I just came to the TVs and my neighbors hate me, something like that. No, I don't have 20 TVs, but I was kind of a shut-in this weekend. What a beautiful weekend we had. I just wasted it by sitting in front of the TV and making noise about games that I really have no emotional connection on, say, for one.
Yeah, and I know which one that is, and we'll get to that in a second. But that's the beautiful thing about the NCAA tournament. As I went to the supermarket yesterday, and the checker and the customer ahead of me were talking about how tough West Virginia is. And I'm thinking, this is such a bizarre tournament that you start finding yourself following these schools that in some cases you didn't even know existed and certainly didn't care about until all of a sudden they're playing your team. I mean, it's just it's easy to get wrapped up in the drama of all the stories going on.
You know, I don't want to be just a massive cynic here, but a lot of it has to do kind of with gambling. I mean, let's face it, the games are great, but we all do this bracket, and while it's not go to Vegas and pound your paycheck on the counter kind of gambling, we all get into it because we all have a rooting interest, like the Kentucky Derby every year. How many Americans have a Kentucky Derby party or go to an OTB or they have an office pool and they put in $5 on a horse that until the previous day they had never even heard of?
Yeah.
And if they line the horses up and said, okay, this is the horse you bet on. Okay, pick the horse out of the 10 here that you bet on. Nobody could do it.
No.
But we all get into it because it's such a fun community-building experience. And when you add in the fact that they're college kids, many if not most of whom will not go on to the NBA, and they give you so many fantastic, emotional, oh my God, did you see that moment? I don't know how you don't love it. And then you go to the Wizards and the Lakers afterwards. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of the brackets, obviously a lot of people were ripping theirs up after Kansas was eliminated this weekend. And that's the most unbelievable upset. You know, one of the biggest upsets in the program's history. But you tweeted something fascinating to me. There were hundreds of thousands of people who predicted Northern Iowa, right?
Yeah. If you go on ESPN.com and you do their brackets, there's something like 5 million people worldwide that do the brackets. They all go in for a prize. No one ever gets them all. Right, everyone's gone by now in terms of getting a perfect bracket. But believe it or not, there were 1% of that 4.8 million or whatever that picked Northern Iowa. Now, I don't know how much of it was dumb luck and how much of it was, you know, I hate Kansas, or how much of it was we actually think they could beat Kansas. But if you go back after the fact and look at it, Northern Iowa was actually 10-1 against schools ranked in the top 100 this year. They actually went out and beat people. Nobody wants to look at it on paper and say Northern Iowa is going to beat Kansas. Northern Iowa, though, actually had some decent wins. It's just no one thought that Kansas would just roll up and die, you know, in the second round. But the fact is, they didn't just roll up and die. They were beaten.
Yeah.
This team, have you ever heard of Ali Farouk Manesh?
Nope. I can't believe he doesn't live in Glendale, though.
Boom, boom. Hey, it was the Persian New Year Saturday, and the son of a 1980 Iranian Olympic volleyball player had the biggest stones I've ever seen in my entire life. And instead of milking the clock with no one on him on a fast break, he pulled up and hit a three in a one-point game. And that's why the tournament's great, because there isn't a single basketball coach at any level on the face of the earth that can endorse taking that shot. It's one of those no, oh wow, it went in, okay, we're gonna win.
Yep, is this exactly. One upset enough to create a bidding war for Northern Iowa's coach with other big name schools?
I mean, it could be. That's what usually happens. I mean, some coach or coaches at this point, you know, make some huge run and they all get up and leave. That's the beauty. It's kind of the beauty and the maddening nature of college sports. I think it's a joke. I mean, if you or I or any of us here in this business decided to get up mid-contract and go to a competitor, we'd be blackballed. It would right. never happen. All the lawyers would get involved. But in college athletics, a coaching contract is worthless. It means nothing. All it means is how much money you're going to get paid. I mean, there are some restrictions at times, but generally speaking, you can get up and go wherever you want. So there will be a bidding war for the coaches, the small-time coaches that make runs here, and whether or not they want to get up and leave is their guess.
This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano and the Kevin DeBean Show. We're recapping briefly the NCAA men's college basketball action for the weekend and looking ahead toward the Sweet 16. Now, there were three schools that I cared about going into this. One of them is Gonzaga, and thanks to you and your stupid Syracuse Orange men, they're out.
Hello, Steve.
The other is the University of Maryland, who lost a heartbreaking buzzer beater yesterday to Michigan State. And then I've still got the only Pac-10 team, I guess, left is University of Washington. What's up for the Huskies? How do they look?
No, I don't know how they're doing it, to be honest with you. They've won like 9 in a row now. And if you had told me that a Pac-10 team would have made the Sweet 16, I would have said it was dumb luck. But they're drilling people. I mean, they beat New Mexico by 22
yesterday.
Handily.
Yeah, exactly.
And they destroyed them. Now they get West Virginia. I don't know if they match up that well with West Virginia. At this point, they're just kind of playing with house money. But if you would have told me they would have made it this far, I would have laughed at you. So there's no way I would tell you that they couldn't beat West Virginia. West Virginia is one of those Big East power teams that could have and should have been a number one seed. Now, I mean, Duke has done enough to back up its number one seed. I don't think Duke deserved a number one seed in any way whatsoever. Moreover, they certainly didn't deserve a number one seed in which they got to play the play-in winner in the first round and mm-hmm. just had what looked like a cakewalk to the Final Four. But West Virginia is that team that should have had that number one seed, and they're just kind of lurking there. West Virginia is I don't know what the numbers are, but West Virginia is a Final Four team, I would say, you'd be shocked at how many brackets that West Virginia has a Final Four team. So this is not in any way easy.
You know, everybody always looks for those Cinderella stories. They look for a Memphis from a couple years ago or those teams that kind of come out of nowhere. But the truth is there's a lot of number one and number two seeds left, and it's still likely to end up being a Kentucky or somebody like that wins the thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one school that would be the ultimate Cinderella, I mean, there are a couple here. I mean, there's certainly Northern Iowa, and there's certainly St. Mary's, considering they hadn't won a tournament game, and now they've won two. And then they're out of the WCC. Cornell, though, guys, Cornell is fascinating. Cornell isn't just a bunch of skinny white kids. Well, they are a bunch of skinny white kids, actually, what we call it. But they're really, really good. They almost won at Kansas during the regular season. They had Kansas on the ropes. They had them beaten the entire game. And at the end, just like Northern Iowa Saturday, Kansas came back, except then they were able to win. Kansas was like a 70-game home winning streak at Allen Fieldhouse. They haven't lost in years. And Cornell had him beaten and on the ropes. There's no way they should be a 12 seed.
When was the last time there was even an Ivy League team in the Sweet 16?
There hasn't been an Ivy League team in, I think it was 1979. Penn in 78 and 79, I want to say, made the Final Four. They made the Final Four in 70, the Magic Bird year. It's kind of overlooked. They made the Final Four that year, then made the Sweet 16 again the following year. So it's been 10, and it's been 3 decades.
Very exciting. Well, we're out of time, Andrew. I know you're going to be talking about this a lot on your show today. And, you know, so many sports fans say, look, I love baseball, I love football or basketball, whatever it is. But when it comes to this time of year, this is their favorite sporting event. And every day is so exciting. And I guess it cranks up again on Thursday, right?
It cranks up again Thursday, 4 games then, 4 games on Friday as well.
All right, man, you're the best. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show today. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys, you got it.
Come on with the brand new Stone Temple Pilots for you on the world-famous K-Rock at 650. New STP right there. The album is coming out on May 25th, and it is going to be self-titled, called Stone Temple Pilots. That is the first song from it, called Between the Lines. They had their big first show of the reunion tour at South by Southwest in August in Austin on Thursday night. Mike, you couldn't make it, I guess, because there was a Murder, She Wrote marathon going.
There was.
You weren't able to get to the STP. But anyway, great to have those guys back. Very, very exciting stuff. All right, Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
It is Monday, so we're taking a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. Alice in Wonderland, still number one by a long shot this weekend, made $34.5 million, made it number one yet again. Diary of a Wimpy Kid came in at number two. The movie based on the very popular book series made $21.8 million, almost $22 million, good enough to make it number two. Then The Bounty Hunter with $21 million was right after that. Repo Men, She's Out of My League. Green Zone, Shutter Island, Avatar, Our Family Wedding, and Remember Me, rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
So Jennifer Aniston is a big celebrity, sells a lot of magazines, not so much an automatic box office draw for many people.
Well, $21 million isn't a bad opening weekend. I mean, it's not Alice in Wonderland, but it's pretty good for romantic comedy. It's the best one that's happened in months, so.
All right.
A lot of people showing up to see her and Gerard Butler. Now, what it'll do next weekend? I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movies, Hollywood Reporter says that Marvel Studios has offered the Human Torch the lead role as Captain America in the Captain America movie. Chris Evans, who played the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four films, has been offered the role of the star-spangled shield slinger, Captain America.
What do you think of that?
I think it's a good choice.
Yeah.
Captain America is supposed to be a blonde, good-looking, all-American dude, and Chris Evans certainly has that going on.
He is buff.
He is buff as well.
Yeah.
And if he accepts the deal, it would reportedly include not only First Avenger Captain America, which is now the shooting title of that film, that would be due out next summer, but then two sequels, as well as at least one movie based on the Avengers franchise, which is Captain America and Iron Man and Thor and Hulk all joining forces to battle evil.
So yeah, this ensures him work for the next 10 years at least.
He would be a busy man and he would not have to worry about income for some time. Yeah. So we'll wait and see whether he accepts or not, but I think it's good casting.
Good.
John Krasinski someplace punching walls. Speaking of films, Disney has announced that as it's currently casting for the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie, this is hilarious, they're only going to cast actresses who don't have fake breasts.
What?
Because it doesn't fit the time frame?
The time period of that film. So they said in a quest for realism, they will not be casting actresses who have fake breasts in the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Well, then they would need actors that don't have teeth. If they're going to be, you know...
Their teeth are pretty hunked up in that movie. If you look at their teeth, they look pretty poor.
That is a good point, yeah.
Apparently, they're holding a casting call here in Los Angeles where they expect well over three women to show up. So, good luck on casting that movie. Because it's going to be... It's going to be one 10-year-old and, like, a 60-year-old and then a woman with a double mastectomy.
No.
I'm just saying, there's not many choices when it comes to actresses and fake breasts in Hollywood. Tim Burton's doing pretty well for himself with this Alice in Wonderland film. And he's already got plans in store for another 3D blockbuster. He has nabbed the rights to Charles Addams' The Addams Family cartoons. Now, The Addams Family cartoons were cartoons in magazines back in the 50s, I guess it was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how they started. And then they became the popular live-action television series, which led to the remade feature films, which now has led to a big Broadway musical on stage in New York. And now they're going back to an animated film, and Tim Burton apparently is going to develop that and put it out in 3D.
Hmm.
I think that'll work. Yeah, it sounds like a good combination of material and director. I liked those Addams Family movies from the 90s, by the way.
Yeah,
I thought at least strong. The first one I remember was real, real good.
Raul Julia as Gomez.
Yeah,
and
he's terrific.
Angelica Houston.
Yeah.
Sad news, we may not have Paul Abdul to kick around this year on television. You know, there was talk, according to The Hollywood Reporter, that she was going to star as the host and judge of Star Search.
Yeah.
The redo of the 1980s TV talent show, which Kevin and Bean also served as judges on at one.
Yeah.
Apparently that deal is now off. Paula was offered several $1 million for the gig, but said no.
Because
just like with AI.
They don't think she's... They don't understand the prize that she is for all of
she's
us.
She's getting offers of multi-million dollar deals.
She's a gift, Ralph.
To do television, and she keeps saying no.
You have to pay the gift.
It's Paula Abdul! That's I don't know whether I'm more incensed that someone is offering Paula Abdul millions of dollars to do a TV show, or that she's saying no.
Yeah, what is she going to do instead? It's not like she has something better to do, right?
No,
she's
she does
unbelievable.
Not.
She doesn't have another career or anything like that that we don't know about?
She doesn't have any career.
No, and she's got to be completely delusional, because even you can look at figures. I mean, and her album tanked, absolutely tanked. So even someone who's totally deluded can look at pieces of paper that say, look, you sold 10,000 copies of that album. I don't know what she's thinking.
Well, she must have saved her money from American Idol, because that's the only way I can understand it.
Well, she got it. Watch your show, my dear. The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
Well, we are being deprived of that.
Maybe she's daring to dance in the path of greatness. That's what she's all. She's busy doing that. So ABC says now that she is not signing on, they're going to use her as pretty much the linchpin to create interest for this rebooted Star Search. That Star Search may not happen at all. So we may be deprived of Star Search on top of it.
Goodness.
But this guy McMahon to do it. He was great on that show. Let's put him back in his post. His Buddy Carson. How about Johnny Carson? The guy who hosts the TV show.
Point.
Put him on there. Brittany Murphy could stop by.
Check your voicemail, Ralph. We got some updates.
Today's celebrity birthday, sportscaster Bob Costas is 58 years old today. I heard he's a dick.
That's what I heard. I heard that too. Yeah.
Actress Lena Olsen is 55 years old. Actor Matthew Modine celebrates his 51st birthday. Reese Witherspoon is 34. John Otto of Limp Bizkit is 33. And William Shatner,
come on,
the captain, the admiral, T.J. Hooker, Denny Crane, soon to be the dad who says S. He's got a pilot in the works. My dad says.
Right.
That deal. It's going to be William Shatner. He's 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, 600 pounds. Most women look at that and go, I'm good with that? Or what do they do?
I could drop a few.
Yeah, I think that's what I guess that's what I was expecting to see in this article. Donna Simpson, Old Bridge, New Jersey, weighs a little over 600 pounds right now. She wears 7 XL dresses.
Oh.
Yeah.
And rather than trying to get on The Biggest Loser, which I think is what would occur to a lot of people at that point when clearly your eating is so out of control, she's decided to go the opposite direction, guys. And she's decided to try to, double her weight if possible. She wants to get up over 1,000 pounds so that she can be the fattest woman in the world.
Well, 4 digits. I mean, that's something to strive for, because that's special. Not everybody can say that.
You can't walk at that weight.
I don't know what the appeal is, except that you love cheeseburgers. I don't know what the draw is to try to weigh over 1,000 pounds, but producer Alex has been able to line her up because she's at home all the time.
Sure.
And we've got the beautiful and lovely Donna Simpson on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Donna. Hello.
Hello.
Donna, can you hear us okay?
Yes. How are you?
I'm fine, but what's going on? Are you shooting a Transformers movie?
I'm walking across the floor in my house.
Oh, no, that's just you walking. Wow. So what's going on with you? 600 pounds is not enough, Donna?
I want to be over 1,000 pounds.
But why?
Because then I'll be the fattest woman in the world.
Wow. But you know they don't back a truck up with $10 million if you achieve that goal. It's just you're going to be fat and die earlier. That's all that'll happen.
But men will want to see me naked.
I don't know what you're basing that on. I don't think that's true, Donna.
I'm already an erotic model.
Really?
Really? Is that a big fetish?
SupersizeBombshells.com.
Wow. There are people who want to see extremely fat women, but don't you think you're already fat enough for that? I don't think you need to be bigger.
Well, I had two options. Lose 500 pounds or gain 400 pounds. And one seems easier to me.
That is true.
When you put it that way.
And the skinny girl knows.
Yeah, it's much easier to go up than down.
Exactly! That's my point!
Donna, is it true that you are already in the Guinness Book of World Records?
Yes, for being the fattest mom. Huh? Fattest woman to ever give birth.
You gave birth at 532 pounds.
Yes. And my daughter, Jacqueline, was 173 pounds when she was born.
That is a surprise, actually. But did you realize once it took 30 doctors and a cesarean section to safely deliver Jacqueline that maybe you're putting your health at risk here?
I'm okay. I'm in good health because I eat mostly high-quality foods.
Like what? Like
yeah,
what?
How's that possible?
Well, I enjoy fruit.
Really?
Really?
Yes. So I will have like a pallet of Hostess fruit pie oh. in the morning for mm-hmm. breakfast.
Oh, yeah. That's not that's
to
not
get
fruit.
My fruit. Right. And I like vegetables.
That's okay, good. Now, vegetables is a step in the right direction.
Yes, so I'll have three or four metric tons of candy corn at dinner
okay.
vegetables. I like corn.
It doesn't. That's not really corn, though.
Or
I'm sorry,
beans. No. I'll have Boston baked beans. The candy,
right,
not
of course.
The regular one.
Yeah, right.
And I enjoy healthy food for the most part. Sometimes I'll have a cow if I need protein.
Just the whole cow.
Is it alive?
Yeah! It's organic.
That's a good point.
Just swallow the whole thing live, horns and all.
Yeah, well, the horns, that's ridiculous. Yeah, take those off.
Yeah, well, that'd be crazy.
You could
that'd
hurt yourself eating a horn.
Yeah, we don't get crazy.
Where are you walking to, Donna? You don't seem to...
I got a big house.
Sounds like it. All right, we were talking to Andrew Siciliano a few minutes ago from ESPN Radio. He was talking about how it was a beautiful weekend in Southern California. He saw none of it because of NCAA men's college basketball action.
I'm sure he was not alone.
I'm sure he was very much not alone. I know I spent an awful lot of time indoors this weekend, and that's what happens this time of year with the March Madness. It just sucks you in because... Well, there's thousands of hours of programming, and you want to see it all. And
right.
as he pointed out, teams that you don't even care about, all of a sudden you are invested in. And some of it has to do with the bracket that you've got at work, and some of it just has to do with you get caught up in the drama. It is estimated, by the way, an employment outplacement firm called Challenger Gray & Christmas estimates that office pools will create $1.8 billion in lost productivity this year. This is from people who, you know, are streaming the games on their computer at work or getting in, you know, heading into the break room to watch the games on TV or leaving early to watch games or coming in late to watch games. $1.8 billion is going to be sucked out of the workforce as a result of the March Madness. And we started talking about this off the air about all the extremes that people are going to try to see these games and plans that are being canceled, and you've got to figure out everything you can to do to try to get next to a TV or something like that. Lisa, didn't you get married during some sort of sporting event that you had to
bring that
operate
up.
Around?
Yeah, it was April 4th, and it was the Sweet 16. And, you know, what happens, you plan these events and you don't even think about the fact that there's this thing coming up because we planned it 8 months out. And so what we actually wrapped it up early. It was an afternoon wedding. I think it started at noon and everybody was done by 2 and gone because
nice.
we knew what was going on. So we basically said, all right, we'll cut the cake. You're dismissed.
I do remember it being like some sort of a speed wedding. It couldn't have been any faster. Everybody was running like from where the wedding was to the reception.
And we just threw food at people, gave them a drink, cut the cake, and boom, everyone was off. We were done so quickly that the car that's supposed, you know, the limo that's supposed to come pick you up didn't show up for an hour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really sad.
But do you remember how much love you got from the
yes.
people that came to your wedding that said, thank you for not being one of those brides who's oblivious to the rest of the world, who's going to make me sit here on my fat ass for 6 hours and miss the Sweet 16. We were so proud of you that day.
Thank you. Well, and here's the thing. Would you have even shown up if you didn't know that I was going to let you out on time? Probably
that's
half of you
point.
Wouldn't even have come.
That's probably
yeah.
true. So we're going to be looking for your telephone calls. If you have, if March Madness has impacted your life in terms of your obligations, in terms of your job, in terms of your relationships, have you had to lie in order to watch college basketball? What have you had to do in order to shoehorn this into your schedule? Because I just know from the limited circle of acquaintances that I have. And, you know, that's not many for me.
Yeah.
I do know that it just wreaked havoc with everybody's plans this weekend. Everybody that was going to do something, all of a sudden somebody wasn't available to do that because they had a better option.
Well, because a lot of times you're just, I mean, when you make those plans, it doesn't occur to you that this is that weekend. And isn't next weekend big, too? And the weekend after
Sweet 16 starts this Thursday, right.
Yeah.
And the Sweet 16 turns into the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
And that makes the final four.
So it's really like a month, right?
It is.
It's stuff you have to somehow figure out how to get out of.
It is March Madness, and it's pretty much the whole month of March into April. By the way, we are specifically looking for March Madness calls, but I will tell you that I do also have an experience that involved a wedding, which was a couple that I went to, their wedding. It was during the World Series.
Oh.
And it was during the World Series in a city where that team was playing in the World Series.
Oh, you canceled that wedding.
What do you do?
That's because you don't know who's going to be in the World Series until 2 weeks, before, a little less than 2 weeks before. So there's no way to anticipate that your team in your city is going to be in the World Series, right? Well, it worked out that way. And the groom was able to talk the bride, and I'll never forget this, into putting little television sets on the tables at the reception hall.
That is brilliant.
Little portable TVs so that people who wanted to be able to follow the game would still be able to because it was the World Series.
Because those tables would be empty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, how do you talk your bride into that? I mean, look, be open-minded. Try to help your new husband out. But I mean, how many women are going to allow TVs at their wedding reception?
That would not be first choice, I will tell you that.
You said, but it would only ruin the wedding more if you didn't have those televisions and it was a mass exodus every time, the game got close.
Right.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. So 1-800-520-1067. March Madness has wreaked havoc with your life. How? What have you had to do in order to watch? Let's take a quick call here from Kat. She is on line 4 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kat. Thanks for dialing in. What's going on?
Hi. I'm a teacher's aide in Orange County, and in the classroom I was in last week, instead of actually doing the lessons, my teacher was having all the students fill out brackets.
You're kidding! Oh my god!
And study skills class. So apparently he thought that was important for preparing them for college.
Well, first of all, he was right. He did the right thing. He's an awesome teacher. And second of all, there's plenty of time to learn all that boring stuff. This is happening, and it's happening right now.
Yeah, real life situation.
It's a good way to teach statistics, right?
Sure.
Use it for that in math?
Yeah, sure. I guess you could try to turn it into a lesson if you wanted to, I guess.
Nobody wants to.
Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. It is amazing how many games there are, too, by the way. And they do start at like 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you can basically blow off an entire day's work and do nothing but watch basketball if you time it right.
How happy are you, Bean?
Pretty
really?
Darn.
I mean, what a great excuse to just sit there all day.
Yep. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break. Your calls on this topic when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, one of our Kevin and Bean listeners in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, writes in, Bean, I took Thursday and Friday off last week for the tournament. I came home after work on Thursday and the car didn't move until it was time to go to work this morning. I have sores on my ass from sitting and watching the tournament all weekend long. Go Northern Iowa.
Yeah, Eric.
By the way, go Northern Iowa are words that I never thought I would see in my life, but apparently that's what's happening. Speaking of sores on your ass. Now, the St. Patrick's Day show that happened last Wednesday here on the Kevin and Bean program has already become the stuff of legend. I, of course, was not there. I was on vacation. Psycho Mike, who's here in the room with us, was also on vacation, so he missed it too. And it sounds to me from what the bits and pieces that I've heard and seen on the emails and the rumors, it sounds to me like the two sober guys not being there didn't necessarily help you dudes out.
Wow. I don't know what you mean by help exactly.
I think you guys are asking the wrong people because
you have no memory.
Yeah, I just remember bits and pieces.
This is all Omar remembers.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a lot going on. Now, the show was broadcasting live from Casey's in downtown Los Angeles. It was your standard St. Patrick's Day, show up early, greet and beer, and party down, right? Take the day off of work, come on down and join us in the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, I listened to the podcast because I was so curious when I started to see the emails flying around about how out of control I got. I thought it sounded like a fun show. It sounded like you guys were having a great time down there. It sounded like there was a huge crowd down there, and they all seemed to be very much into the program.
It was a blast.
Absolutely, it was
a very fun show.
Yep. Who's raining on this parade then? Who's talking about it being so bad?
Well, Mr. Weatherby, but it was great until about maybe 9:40 when Omar lost control of his finger and
no, that was awesome.
Hit the reggaeton, maybe every other word.
I stand by that. I would still do that.
Yeah, so Ralph's trying to do the showbiz, and all you hear is the reggaeton horn going off.
So, by the way, Dave, shut up because you were the guy egging me on. I kept looking over at Dave and he's all like, do it. And I was like, all right, here you go.
It is true. I was going, cut it. Yeah. But, you know, either way.
Well, at one point,
I know this, and this is just from like an outsider's point of view. Omar's really responsible and very good at his job, and he's always in control. When he's sober.
Right.
When Omar has a couple drinks.
A couple. He turns into
an animal. And I don't know if the best parts of St. Paddy's Day were on the air.
No.
There's a couple of things, just a couple snippets here on the recording machines that we have at the studio of you guys off the air that I listened to when I got back. And it sounds insane. I don't know how you guys survived.
Yeah. It's a miracle.
Was that available to play?
No. It's available to play, but it's not available to play under FCC rules.
Oh, I see.
It's disgusting.
Well, you know, the broadcast was fine, and that happened. But after the mics were off and after we were all done with work, that's when things got crazy. That's when Kevin made it rain with shots. Ralph was passing out shots like nobody's business.
Now, did Ralph really buy part ownership of a horse?
Yeah, apparently that's true.
Part owner of a horse. And I guess, I don't remember this, but I guess I was standing in line for a drink and I didn't want to stand in line. So I ended up behind a bar, not only serving myself a drink, but helping other people out.
You turned into a bartender.
Yeah, exactly. I was bartender, and that's when security kindly escorted me outside.
One story is that they went to Kevin and said, look, Omar, what should we do? And Kevin said, what do you normally do? And they said, throw him out. And Kevin said, throw him out.
He did not have my back.
Not at all.
Yep.
Lisa, how about you on Wednesday? How were you doing? Because you usually keep it together pretty well.
I had one shot at the end of the show, and then I made a beeline for my car
because I could see what was happening.
I was bad enough. I couldn't find my car in that parking lot for like 20 minutes.
Now, Cleo,
going up and down the rows.
I had a conversation with you on St. Paddy's Day. I don't know if you remember.
You did?
Yeah, she called me in Austin.
I might have drunk dialed a few people that day.
Yeah, I was one of them. And I didn't really understand what you were saying, but I got some bits and pieces, and there was some making out. Am I correct?
What?
Oh.
I didn't know about
this. On St. Patrick's Day, some making out?
I may have made out with Intern Gaga.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Intern Gaga.
All egged on by Kevin, by the way. So it was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Intern Gaga is a goer. I mean, you gotta love her. And I heard that she was fairly faded as well.
She may have been the most faded.
Yeah. Okay, she did. Am I correct? She ended up passing out here at the station.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. She got there around 10:30 and was wasted, and we left by 12:30. So in between, I'm counting 9 shots that I've seen her see her do.
Oh, dude. And, she's little.
That
too.
I remember. Yeah. And yeah, she has no self control, and she's like, more shots,
oh,
and I'm buying vodka. And I was like, what are you doing? Stop.
Miss Cleo, is it true that you also made out with token blacklister Anel?
Okay.
That happened.
Dave
is that
claims
true?
That happened, and I'm one of those drunks that, for the most part, I remember. I do not remember making out with Anel at all.
Yeah, you don't also remember laying on the table and showing your boobs and it's just
that
other
didn't
stuff.
Happen.
You know,
that's ridiculous.
That happened.
But let's say
and,
it did.
Yeah, Anel got some Cleo.
Now I also heard legendary stuff about Beer Mug.
Well, you know what? He didn't come down to the broadcast, but he did go out St. Paddy's Day night.
Okay, now let me fill folks in. Beer Mug is the guy who was filling in for Psycho Mike, running the controls at the radio station while Mike was on vacation.
Right.
And he apparently did not show up on Thursday?
Right. So I come in at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, ask the board op, hey, where's Mug? He's like, not here. So I'm like, you know, we're worried. And I had to run the board, you know, the rest of the morning, and we get word at 7:20 from Mug, and Miss Cleo answers the phone, and what's he say?
Hey, Cleo. I'm in a bush. I don't know where I am. I'm so sorry. Oh, God. I don't know where my keys are. Cleo, I'm coming in. And I was like, Mugs, this was like close to 8 o'clock. It's like, Mugs, go home.
Bother.
Yeah, sleep it off.
He woke up in shrubbery, though.
That's
the best March 18th story ever.
Yeah, it's awesome. Not only did he wake up in shrubbery, but he had marks like he fought a mountain lion on his arms, broke his thumb, and has no recollection of it.
Oh. So, his last memory, right, is looking at his watch at about 11:30 and thinking, good, I have some time to go home and sleep.
Yes.
And he said the next second he woke up under a bush.
Yeah, and he said he thinks someone slipped him. Cleo, I think someone slipped me something. I've never blacked out like this before.
Yeah. Wow. How about that?
Okay, so wait. Let me just recap here. Intern passed out at the station and vomiting.
Yes.
Omar got kicked out of the bar and started bartendering before that happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cleo is making out with people from both sexes.
Allegedly.
And my fill-in wakes up in a bush.
Yes.
How's that not a good show?
Best show ever, right?
Next hour, we've got your tickets to see that band right there, Paramore, at the Honda Civic Tour at the Honda Center on September the 19th, and you're qualified for Paramore or less. Go to KROQ.com for all the details, and stick around for your chance to win coming up on The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:49. Hey, Ralph Grammer with the Showbiz Bean. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some tickets to give away for the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans.
Yeah!
3D freaking monsters and Medusa with her snake head and Perseus and the gods on Mount Olympus, and I can't freaking wait.
I haven't seen any 3D movies yet, and eventually I guess they're all going to be in 3D and I'm going to end up seeing one.
Hold on. How have you avoided seeing a 3D movie so far? There's been a dozen of them the past year.
I want to see Avatar. I haven't gotten around to it. That's probably the one that I'll end up seeing first, but I just I haven't made it to any of them yet.
Hmm. Dave won't go to see a movie unless it's in 3D now. He won't see a regular movie anymore.
That's terrible.
Oh, just IMAX 3D. That's all I'll see movies in anymore.
But a lot of these movies that are coming out in 3D so far, like Clash of the Titans and like Alice in Wonderland, are not movies that I would have gone to see even if they were, you know, TD movies. Not the kind of movies that I generally go to.
Oh, you
I tend to see the, you know, independent movies more.
Bastard. I love the original Clash of Titans. It was awesome.
And is that Harry Hamlin?
Harry Hamlin is Perseus in that one. Yeah, this one has Sam Worthington.
And his dog Spot.
As Perseus, who battles, of course, all these creatures like the Kraken. Release the Kraken! And all kinds of good stuff like that. And look, I'm going to give someone who really will appreciate Clash of the Titans, like an old Ray Harryhausen, old school sort of monster movie fan, a chance to see the red carpet world premiere of this movie March 31st at the Gramercy Chinese Theater in famous Hollywood, California. Here's the trivia question. You'd be the first, one of the first five people, let's say, 1-800-520-1067. First five correct answers wins a pair of tickets. The original Clash of the Titans, as I mentioned, Ray Harryhausen, legendary monster movie maker, did Jason, the Argonauts, and all those great stop-motion animation films. We mentioned Harry Hamlin was the star of that. Who played Zeus? Ooh, leader of the gods, leader of the Greek gods. What famous actor played Zeus in the original Clash of the Titans? In this version, Liam Neeson plays Zeus. But who played it in the original? Call now, 1-800-520-1067 if you know, and you'll win a pair of tickets. Love that film. Chopping off Medusa's head. The snake's all moving. Telling people when earthquakes are going to be in China. Missed it last week. Lisa was telling us how earthquakes are told by snakes, are foretold by snakes in China
you
or Japan.
You know that, right,
or
Bean?
Something.
That they have cameras on snakes in pits in certain places in China because they react before earthquakes?
I've heard that, but don't they give you, like, 8/10 of a second notice? I mean, it doesn't help you that much, right?
I mean, my terrier gives me 2 minutes notice. That doesn't help me any.
I'm just saying they
Lisa
have
was just saying her
cameras
defense.
On she snakes was just saying. In pits. And then they
we're mocking her for her psychic snakes.
Yeah, you never believed me.
She's got a point. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office this weekend, shall we? Alice in Wonderland, speaking of 3D movies, still number one at the box office. Third week in a row, $34.4 million. Excuse me, $34.5 million made it number one this weekend. So far, it has an estimated gross of $566 million.
Holy mackerel.
That's a lot of Alice in Wonderland money right there. Diary of a Wimpy Kid came in at number two. Then The Bounty Hunter, Repo Men, and She's Out of My League. That's your top five. Then Green Zone, Shutter Island, Avatar, Our Family Wedding, and Remember Me. So that's your top 10 at the box office.
Ralph, when are you going to get your 3D TV? I see they're in stores now.
Yeah, I know. I got a chance to see 3D, the Sony 3D TVs a couple months ago.
You loved it, right?
It was freaking amazing. But my concern is not enough content, not enough 3D content really to make it worth my while yet.
Right.
So I might hold off until something else. Because the World Cup's going to be in 3D. freaking soccer. I'm not going to get a TV for that. That's for sure. If there were more 3D games, then maybe I would do it, because 3D gaming, I think, is going to be the next step, logical step for like really high quality 3D. But really, unless they show it in the NFL in 3D or something like that, I mean,
that would be a game changer.
What do I need 3D TV for at this point? I'm waiting for the content to catch up the technology, because I don't need to see 30 Rock in 3D or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Most of the stuff on TV, it's not like a big motion picture where you want to see all the action adventure and stuff. So.
Sure, yeah.
So they've got to make better TV. The TVs are fine. You've got to make better content.
The content, yeah.
Although Southland, let's see that in 3D.
Southland?
Oh, man, was that good last week. So good. Have you been watching Southland, the new Southland episodes?
I watched my first episode at you guys told me to do it, and we had the guests in. We had Ben McKenzie and
Michael Cudlitz.
It's really good.
It's
so much better than your average kind of cop drama.
It's even better on TNT than it was on NBC, I'm telling you. I'm really impressed. All right, let's talk about Jesse James and Sandra Bullock. Apparently their relationship is in serious disarray now that Michelle Bombshell McGee has come forward and said she had an affair with Jesse James. Now, keep in mind, it is her word against his, and Jesse has said that most of the allegations are unfounded.
And yet he did apologize.
Yeah, he did say he was sorry to his wife and kids for his behavior. He did take full responsibility for the problem that he is currently in. However, he said most of the allegations are unfounded.
And well, look what the whore cat dragged in.
Yeah, whore.
A whore.
Why read on that? Right. Is that he was splitting hairs because, well, she said it was 11 months. It was really only 10. I mean, it's going to be that kind of a thing that he's going to claim
has
wrong.
A little sex with her.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Well, a lot of friends of Bombshell McGee are upset because people are casting aspersions on her character. She is an upstanding homewrecker, says Mary Guzman, who is her co-worker at the fine establishment of the Pure Platinum Strip Club in San Diego, California. She tells Us Weekly magazine that Bombshell McGee has morals and class.
Where?
Based on what?
I think, you know what the giveaway is? It's the swastika tattoo on her stomach. That's when I knew she was a classy dame.
Classy girl.
The white power on her calves and the swastika on her stomach. That's how I knew.
She's quite a prize.
She is, and I'm hoping, you know, if my marriage ever goes south, I'll end up with a girl just like that, with a face tattoo.
I was more shocked to find out that Jesse James had been unfaithful than I was about Tiger Woods. Jesse James, to me, is the most stand-up guy in the world.
Yeah.
I was really, really surprised by that.
I know. I agree.
I was until I saw her. And I said, yep, that looks like his type.
That's
all right.
His type, yeah.
After Janine Lindemuller, you know what he gravitates towards. Sandra Bullock was the anomaly.
Could this be worse timing, too, right after she gets that Oscar and thanked him?
No.
And I was like,
no, and he was all teary.
You taught me how to be a family. My work's better because of you. I was like, ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah. Katherine Heigl, she's a movie star now that she's quitting that Grey's Anatomy. I don't know if she deserves the Chewie.
She doesn't.
She's not the hottest chick in the world, but she's not Chewbacca.
Not at all.
I don't know. I think her personality makes her so ugly.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to bang her personality, that's for sure. She was in Vegas at the Show West Awards last week, and she received the Female Star of the Year Award. I don't know how they figure these things out. I can't imagine why she's Female Star of the
World. Is this for movies?
Show West. This is the big this is the big convention where all the exhibitors, all the theater owners come out, and they give awards to stars, and stars come out to promote their upcoming films and whatnot.
And I think they pay you to show up to receive those awards, too, by the way.
They do.
It's that kind of a deal.
They do. She received Female Star of the Year Award, and when she got up, the shoulder strap on her dress burst.
Yeah.
And she had to cover her left breast with her hand the whole time she was accepting the
speech. Oh, God.
Yeah, there are pictures on the internet if you want to see. But sadly, it was just short of a wardrobe malfunction because she was able to grab it in time. Oh, but it was funny seeing her hold her boob the whole time she was having a speech. It was very
sweet.
Let's see, we have a winner of my trivia question. Let's talk to John, shall we? John? John?
Hello.
Hey, John, are we a big fan of the original Clash of the Titans?
Absolutely.
Who played Zeus?
Aphrodite. Zeus was played by Laurence Olivier.
Olivier, the greatest actor of all time.
Zeus
in Clash of the Titans. Congratulations, we're going to give you a pair of tickets for the red carpet world premiere of the brand new Clash of the Titans in theaters everywhere on April the 2nd, but you're going on March 31st, all right?
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you, hold on, we'll give you all the details. I also want to thank Joey and Jason and Iris and Danny for calling in. They're also winners. They're going to see the movie too. I can't wait for this movie. Release the Kraken! It's going to be awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays, William Shatner is 79 years old today.
Woo!
Kong!
Yes, I have a question for Captain Kirk. In that episode where you drown your wife, why are you so fat?
Oh.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Wow. Dude.
Is that your birthday gift to him? Is that what your idea is of a birthday gift?
That's the cruelest thing that's ever been undone.
You just did it.
Look how he plays it.
And
it
goes, ooh, he pretends.
You're the one who did it.
Like it just spontaneously happened.
I don't know if you should go there.
You played it.
Yeah, that was ill-advised.
Bob Costas is 58 years old today. Actress Lena Olin is 55. Matthew Modine celebrates his 51st birthday. Reese, ow, I have a hard time taking a breath.
My ears are bleeding.
I feel like my solar plexus, I got popped in the stomach, and I'm a little winded right now.
I'm actually depressed now.
Actress Reese Witherspoon is 34 years old.
Kevin thinks
today.
She's a dude.
Yes, he does. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
First, I'm not watching The Celebrity Apprentice. I know it is a very popular show Sunday nights on NBC. Time for a recap now. We have Donald Trump himself on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Donald, you there, man? Mr. Trump, can
Hello?
You hear us? Okay.
Hello,
hi, Mr.
Can you
Trump.
Hear me? Hello?
Yeah, yes, Donald. How
Hello?
Are you, sir?
Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, can you hear us? Donald?
Hello?
Hey, listen, I haven't been watching Celebrity Apprentice. I know you're only a couple of episodes in, but I don't know who some of these people are on the show. Why are they celebrities?
First of all, you're the only person in America not watching Celebrity Apprentice. It is the only program that 99.9% of all Americans are watching at the same time. So you're the only one who's not watching.
I don't believe
it's the highest rated 2-hour show that follows Win It in a Minute in America.
All right. Well, I guess we'll talk about some of the contestants on this year's Celebrity Apprentice, and you'll kind of give us a recap on what happened on last night's episode.
The biggest stars in America are on Celebrity Apprentice. They're all celebrities. We've got Maria Kanellis.
Okay, now, that's one that I don't know. Who is that?
She is a young lady whose first name is Maria, whose last name is Kanellis.
Right, what does she do? What is she famous for? Where
she
do I know her from?
She's very popular in her field.
What is
all
her field?
I know.
What is she famous for?
She's famous for all the work that she does in her area of expertise.
Is she as famous as contestant Curtis Stone?
She's no Curtis Stone, don't get me wrong.
I don't know who that is either.
Curtis Stone is a very popular young man who does something so well that he has gained a certain amount of fame for it.
Okay. All right. Let's give up on trying to figure out why they're famous and on the show. What did you have them do last night, Mr. Trump?
I'll tell you something. This Maria Kanellis, though, she is hot. She is a boxed lunch. She is a little piece of heaven. She's almost as hot as Ivanka. That's how hot she is.
Okay. You shouldn't really talk about your daughter as being hot.
Oh, my daughter's so hot. She's
okay,
so
but that's
incredibly
not,
hot.
Creepy.
That's
she's
not appropriate.
Giant cans.
Donald,
makes
seriously.
Me crazy.
Please don't talk about her like that.
Last night I told the contestants that they had to compete in a task that had to do with one of my favorite companies of all time.
Okay, to take a great photograph, you need a great company. That great company, and it's a great American company, is Kodak. They're the leader in imaging, and I love that company, and I'm very loyal to that company.
I love Kodak. I love it so much, I eat film for breakfast. I get rolls of Kodak 35mm film, I put milk and sugar on it, and I eat it. I love Kodak.
Are they even selling film anymore, Donald, or has that gone the way of the dodo bird?
They are now number one when it comes to digital imaging.
Okay.
They're in the business. I don't know if they're number one. But here's the task that the Kodak people gave to the celebrities.
Your task is to relaunch Kodak Moments by creating your own Kodak storefront experience so that you can create for the people of New York Kodak Moments.
Got it? Nina.
Got it.
I have no idea what he was asking them to do, but it involves Kodak Moments and a store, and you had to go there and have a moment. So do that.
Wow.
So Sinbad was the head of the men's team. Oh, did I mention Sinbad's on the show? The funniest, greatest comedian who's ever been, the biggest comedian ever to ever be big.
I understand that he believes that is true, yes.
Yes. And Maria Kanellis was the head of the women. And as I mentioned, she's very attractive and does something that people know about.
Okay.
So they set up their storefronts to give people Kodak moments, which involved basically taking pictures of them. Very exciting.
Now, sounds like good TV.
Ralph Blagojevich is also on the show.
Right.
You may remember him as being somebody who did something.
Now, him I know. He's the former governor of Illinois who had to resign in disgrace.
That's it. And he was on the show talking about something when someone walked down the street and recognized him.
These are concepts and ideas. It really requires a lot of creative discussion, creative thoughts, a certain vision. And yes, thank you. Yeah, same here. Thank you. You guys get that?
He loves him.
He does, yeah.
Rob loves him, and he says that he's not guilty of anything and that everybody loves him. And he proved that by that guy saying hi to him, and he wanted to make sure that we had that on tape, and we did. We okay. also got this on tape. Rob walking down the street, and a guy screaming at him, saying, "You're a disgrace. Have fun in jail."
How do you do, sir? Pleasure meeting you.
You're a disgrace.
No, none of that's true. It's all baloney.
You are a disgrace.
Well, no.
Enjoy prison.
Hi. Hello.
Enjoy prison. That's what that man said.
Did
to
you
him.
Get that?
We got that, too. We also got Rob Blagojevich being mistaken for a 70s teen idol by a young lady who had no idea who he was.
She was hoping for a boy. It wasn't a boy. It was a girl. But she so she nicknamed me Donnie.
How's that named after me? My name's not Donnie. What did you think? Who did you think I was? Who did you think I was?
Donny Osmond.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
The Rob Blagojevich can suck it. Nobody knows who he is.
Isn't that that's our point though? If they're on Celebrity Apprentice, shouldn't people know who they are? Shouldn't they actually be celebrities at this point?
You're asking for a lot, really.
I guess so. Yeah.
Now Sharon Osbourne, she's a celebrity.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah,
she was part of the competition. She was deathly, deathly ill, and was put in charge of handing out cupcakes at the event. Seems to me maybe not the best idea.
No.
Unless you want to wipe down your cupcake with a Clorox disinfecting wipe. By the way, I love Clorox. They're a great company. One of my favorite companies, an American company. They do great work, and they make great bleach. Now, okay. On to Sharon. Why would you have her hand out cupcakes when she's coughing up sputum?
Right.
Not good. I'm glad nobody came back and complained, because probably a good third of New York had the runs that afternoon.
Oh.
Yeah. She gave New York the fear.
Great.
Fantastic. Well, despite giving out tainted cupcakes, the women ended up doing very well in the competition, which was, as I mentioned, I'm not really sure what it was.
The fact is, the Kodak executives loved the job that the women did. So the women win. Congratulations.
Okay.
Congratulations.
They did best of doing something that I'm not sure what it was they were supposed to do, but they did it the best.
Now, do I understand that we just heard was a recap of a 2-hour episode of Celebrity Apprentice last night?
Well, we're not even done yet, because I still have to fire someone.
Oh, there's more.
I don't say you're fired, then no one gets fired.
Okay.
So I had to fire someone from the men's side. So, of course, I had to fire the black guy.
Look, the fact is, you lost the task. You couldn't handle Brett, even though you just admitted he was manageable. And the project manager, Sinbad, you're fired.
Oh.
So Sinbad was fired.
What's
he gonna
do now?
Luckily, there are more people left on the show to do things we're not sure what they're supposed to do when we don't know who they are.
You know how to sell it. I can't wait for next week, Mr. Trump.
Tune in.
Hey!
Oh.
Killers, Rise Against, and The Bravery coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. Psycho Mike, the new co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock, by the way, hanging out with The Bravery on last night's show. I know those are good guys. I'm sure that was
a lot
of fun.
Yeah, they're very nice dudes.
It is 8:23. You are listening to Kevin and Bean Show. Rob Corddry from the Hot Tub Time Machine. In about a half an hour here on the show, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, all straight ahead. Earlier, we played some of the tape of the Tiger Woods interview, which I think caught a lot of people by surprise yesterday, because usually these big celebrity sit-down, first tell-all interviews usually are hyped for 2 weeks leading up to it, and everybody gathers around the TV ready to see it. This one I didn't even know about. I don't even think they announced it until yesterday afternoon that Tiger Woods had taped an interview for ESPN.com, or ESPN, I should say, to air last night. He did one for ESPN and one for the Golf Channel. And they're both very short interviews. We heard part of one earlier today. We're going to hear some more from Tiger yesterday. If you have not yet heard the withering questioning from Tom Rinaldi, who's doing the interview for ESPN, here's a little more of Tiger talking last night.
You said you were in treatment. The simple question is, for what?
By the way, he couldn't sound more like Chris Hansen.
No, he really does. You're right.
Confronting a guy who showed up to answer a Craigslist ad about little girls. I mean, he really does. He's really pouring it on here. But here's Tiger's answer that I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot of leading up to his appearance at the Masters.
Well, that's a private matter as well. But I can tell you what, it was tough. It was really tough to look at yourself in a light that you never want to look at yourself. That's pretty brutal.
What'd you see?
I saw a person that I never thought I would ever become.
Who was that?
Well, I got away from my core values, as I said earlier. I got away from my Buddhism.
Who was that?
What did you see?
Also, they're in a men's room or at, I don't know, there's a urinal going on or they're in a waterfall. I can't figure out why. I know they shot it at a country club near Tiger's home in Florida, but doesn't it seem like when you set up for the interview, somebody, a producer, cameraman, somebody says, hey, let's move a little bit away from the stream, could we?
Yeah.
But I can see where they want it to be a real casual setting to kind of make people believe that he's really opening up and just being himself.
Right.
But there's got to be another place on the golf course or somewhere where they could have done it.
I'm without running water, yeah. Right. It's a little distracting.
I quit meditating. I quit doing all the things that my mom and dad had taught me. And as I said earlier in my statement, I felt entitled. And that is not how I was raised.
Why not seek treatment before all of this came out?
Well, I didn't know I was that bad. I didn't know I was that bad. I was living a life.
How did you learn that? How did you learn?
Stripping away denial.
How did I learn that?
These are not good questions.
Have you seen a newspaper? I learned it when I woke up and realized I'd been having an affair with 14 women and my wife had beat me over the head with a golf club. That's how I learned it.
I thought Tom Rinaldi did a good job of asking questions up until that point. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a dumb question.
That's like asking the alcoholic, why didn't you seek treatment before you got your DUIs? Mm-hmm. You got to hit a bottom. You have to have something that makes you realize that you have a problem.
And the answer is, he didn't have to, because, as he's already explained, he felt entitled and he thought he deserved it all and could get away with it and without any reason to seek treatment. I'm not going to give up banging fat waitresses in every town if I don't have to. Come on.
Rationalization. You strip all that away and you find the truth.
How do you reconcile your behavior with your view of marriage?
That's living a life in amends. That's just working at it each and every day.
Given all that's happened, what's your measure of success at Augusta?
Okay, now bear in mind, he's coming back to golf. It was a surprise to a lot of people when he gave that emotional speech a few weeks ago in front of the small court press. He didn't give any kind of firm date as to when he was going to be coming back to golf. I mean, so there were some who thought he'd be out all year. So it was a little bit of a surprise a few days ago when he announced that he's going to be returning to play golf next month. So this is kind of the first golf question about, most people don't care about him professionally at this point. But let's see what he says.
Well, playing is one thing. I'm excited to get back and play. I'm excited to get to see the guys again. I really missed a lot of my friends out there. I miss competing. But still, I still have a lot more treatment to do. And just because I'm playing doesn't mean I'm going to stop going to treatment.
What reception are you expecting from fans?
What do you guys think is going to happen first time he walks out on a golf course? I think standing O.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, people are so polite at golf courses. They're not going to boo him.
Right. And it's not filled with ladies.
No,
I mean,
that's true,
especially Augusta.
So mostly high fives.
Yeah, it's gonna look when you're out there for the Masters, it's gonna be the most diehard golf fans. So I'm with Bean. He's gonna get a big old standing ovation.
I mean, he's the biggest star in the sport, and people are going to be so happy to have him back. And I think a lot of people are like, I don't care about any of that other stuff.
Sure.
I just want to see you play awesome golf. Let's see what Tiger thinks is going to happen.
I don't know. I am a little nervous about that, to be honest with you.
How much do you care?
Hey, it would be nice to hear a couple claps here and there. But I also hope there'll also claps for birdies, too.
By the way, I guarantee there's going to be some people in the crowd with signs that say "I slept with Tiger" or "Tiger pick me." I mean, there's going to be some goofballs too, right? I mean, there has to
be. They won't let them on the course, will they?
No, you sneak your sign on, Lisa, in your sport coat. You got that folded up, and not that I've ever done something like this, but you don't walk up to the admittance gate with the sign that says "Tiger, the baby's yours."
Although somebody has to do that when he comes back to the basket. Well, we're out of time, but there's a couple minutes more of the interview. It's pretty short, But it's the first in the you know, long process of kind of trying to get those questions out there, at least make it look like you kind of answered those questions so that they can go back to business as usual when the Masters finally gets there. So that is the first step. You can see the whole interview at ESPN.com. We'll talk to Harvey Levin, find out what he thought about that and everything else going on in the world of celebrities from TMZ.com when we return on The Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Wow, who's that deal? 106.7 KROQ. It's 8:41. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We're talking about the Tiger Woods interview on ESPN last night. Here's Kevin and Bean listener Matt from Augusta. He listens to us online from Georgia. He says, I heard you guys talking about the Masters. It's crazy exclusive in Augusta to get into the tournament. Security are the biggest tight asses in the world, even before the announcement that Tiger was coming back. I can assure you the chance of any insane outbursts at the tournament is very unlikely. We were talking about whether people were going to show up with signs, hey, Tiger, I'm next, or whatever. He says, put it this way. If you get passes to the tournament, they are recorded with your name on them. If you are kicked out for any reason, you are officially banned from the course for life. You wouldn't believe the amount of insanity that's going on with the announcement of his return. So, but I mean, yeah, I guess if you're a big golf fan, you wouldn't want to be banned from the club, you know, the club or clubhouse for life. But for the gag, it might be worth it for somebody, you know, to just go down there.
Psycho Mike.
Yeah, listen, there's golf Kevins. There's golf psycho Mikes out there. There has to be.
Of course there are.
Exactly. All right. Let's, speaking of Tiger, speaking of Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, TMZ Television, check your local listings. He is on the phone. Harvey, good morning, first of all.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Harvey.
What'd you think of the Tiger interview last night?
Well, I mean, you know, he didn't choose 60 minutes.
Right.
Right. You know? True.
But, you know, I mean, what he said was interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, he is so in the throes of a 12-step program. I mean, it drips of it, which is probably a good thing. But you just hear, you know, the apologies to everyone. You know, I mean, he's struggling. He's clearly struggling.
But I also agree with those who say he really doesn't owe us an explanation beyond what, as much as we want the salacious details about that night and some of the other stuff, as much as we want to hear him say, I'm in sex rehab, he doesn't owe us that. He doesn't have to, right?
But I think you're missing the point. He doesn't owe anybody anything other than Elon, for sure. What he's doing, though, is this is not an issue of him owing an explanation. Tiger Woods is a business. He's not just an individual. It's the business speaking right now, not the individual. And the business wants to keep the business afloat and thriving. And for the business to be afloat, he's got to deal with this. As the person, he doesn't. But don't look at Tiger Woods as one person, because he's not.
No, that's an excellent point. I mean, if this were a scandal at another company, they would just have somebody take the blame and resign, and the company would bop up and move on. He can't do that because he's the only guy who's got the brand recognition.
Yeah, no, he doesn't want to do that. I mean, he's running a multi-million, $100 million business, and he is trying to, you know, to deal with it on that level. And for that, I mean, again, you got to look at it that way.
All right, good point. I was out last week. I was on vacation, Harvey, and I was...
you should have heard what happened when you were gone, by the way.
I've heard some of the stories. generally, I don't get that invested personally in some of the salacious celebrity stories, but I got to tell you, my heart broke a little bit when I heard about the Jesse James, Sandra Bullock news. I was shocked by that and really saddened, and I don't know why that is, except that I just admire both of them so much and wish them so much happiness. Really tore me up to hear what happened.
It did me too, I got to tell you. You know, and it's funny, too, because we got involved with him, you know, when Cinnabon turned up missing. And,
right, right.
I don't know. I mean, we were dealing with him, and all of a sudden, it's like, pow, you see this, and, you know, you feel bad for her. It's sad. I mean, it really is sad. And then, you know, on top of everything else, you know, then you look at Bombshell.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know that that's kind of his type a little bit. He has a history with girls like that. But, I mean, a tattoo on the face is just a deal breaker for me anytime, any place.
Well, you know, you saw the stuff last week about the, you know, the Nazi posing and and everything else. So there's a picture that this woman is trying to sell of Jesse James wearing the almost identical Hitler-type hat doing Heil Hitler. That will probably be out. One of the magazines, I think, bought it, you know, in the next couple of days. But, wow, it's just, the whole thing is amazing.
Your thought is, because Jesse James' apology was pretty broad, your thought is that this woman is legitimate and is telling the truth about the affair details?
You know, look, I'm not the judge of this thing. You know, it sounds like he's not exactly saying, no, it's not, none of it's true. I mean, you know, and there's an awful lot that she's, you know, a lot of detail that she's got here.
Your top story on TMZ.com, we're talking to Harvey Levin on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, involves the return of Jalene Lindemulder. How does she fit into this whole equation?
Well, she is the ex-wife who is kind of a mess. And, you know, she's living in a halfway house after getting out of prison on tax evasion. She is now going to court in June, and she's going to try to get some custody, her premise being that she felt, you know, there's no way she could have gotten custody of their kid because she didn't really have a stable environment, and Sandra Bullock kind of provided that. And I think her working premise now is that Sandra Bullock may not be around, and as a result, Jesse's not going to be as stable, and she's going to want some custody. So we'll see how that plays out.
Has she moved out? Do we know?
Well, she hasn't been seen, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she's anywhere near Long Beach right now.
Yeah. All right. Bad times indeed, but you continue to watch it unfold at TMZ.com. Anything on the TV show? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Harvey.
Guys, are we not talking about Octomom?
Oh, yes. I heard that over the weekend.
Real quick, she's very close to losing the house, right?
Losing the house, but there is a knight in shining armor who has today, we put this up on the website, offered her a way of paying off this house in full. And that would be one Stephen Hirsch from Vivid Entertainment. Just one film, he will pay the entire house off, he says. He sent a letter to Octo, and it is a standing offer.
There's,
she's not
going to
do that. She'll
I know
lose
it's
her
a
kids potentially, right?
Pardon me?
Wouldn't she potentially lose her kids?
Why? It's not illegal to do porn?
It's not illegal to do porn.
No, I know it's not, but she's already on the bubble.
Yeah, this would at least give her some income. At least she'd be working
yeah,
for once.
I, guess.
I mean, she could say, look, I'm trying to provide a house for my kids. It's a legal thing. Well, who's going to take the kids? Who's going to say, I want those 14 kids?
I will tell you, I understand the freak show, the circus idea of wanting to see her naked after what her body's been through. I don't want to be the guy that has to have sex with her, though. I'll tell you that. I definitely don't want to be that guy.
I'll leave you with this. We put a poll up, and the question is, Octomom sex tape, two options. Sign me up, or I'd rather watch the marriage ref.
And
67% marriage ref.
Well,
wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. The great Harvey Levin on the phone. Thanks for joining us on The Kevin and Bean Show.
See you guys.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Rob Corddry from the Hot Tub Time Machine.
It must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
That is not him, but Rob will be joining us coming up in the next few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Rob's got the showbiz beat now for a Monday. What's happening, Rob?
That's Craig Wilson right there.
That's right.
That's who that
Craig
is.
Wilson.
That's right. I could have told you that.
It's Monday morning. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Alice in Wonderland won the weekend, $34.5 million, made it number one yet again. Diary of a Wimpy Kid came in at number two. Then The Bounty Hunter, in its debut, made $21 million, good enough to make it number three. Repo Men was four. She's Out of My League was fifth. Then Green Zone, Shutter Island, Avatar, Our Family Wedding, and Remember Me. Speaking of movie stars, remember when Lindsay Lohan used to make movies?
No, barely.
Yeah,
barely.
A long time ago.
Good times. Now she just tweets and bitches about not being let into bars. Apparently, she tried to get into a bar here in Los Angeles Thursday night and was refused entry by security. It wasn't that they didn't think she was famous enough or didn't want her to have a good time, but there was a private party at the joint, and her name was not on the list. Well, Lindsay immediately took to the Twitter to complain about how she was manhandled and poorly treated.
Oh, boy.
By the staff at the bar that, once again, keep in mind, this is a bar called Truesdale here in town. They were rented out for a private party, and she wasn't on the invite list.
That's legitimate.
No, it's not. I have never been treated so poorly in my life, she tweeted. This is why I never come to L.A. Isn't security, after I respect them and their work and tip them, aren't they supposed to protect us rather than manhandle and scare us girls? Not to mention, I was heading to bed and got attacked by paps and randoms. That was scary, mean, arrogant, and unnecessarily aggressive. I picked New York, just like Jay-Z. Wouldn't you?
Oh, please.
I love
just
London
like Jay-Z.
And Europe. Much more diverse like New York City, unlike L.A. Well, then, you know what? Don't effing come here anymore.
Yeah, it's weird. I've lived here forever. Never had that problem.
Well, you don't go out past 8. But seriously.
But when I did...
She's guys, also built up a lot of ill will with bar and club owners here in LA because she'll show up,
yeah,
and she doesn't give, she doesn't have the same, you know, kind of luster that she used to have, you know, when she was a big movie star, and she doesn't pay. She doesn't expect to pay for her drinks,
right?
So she's lying when she says in that tweet diatribe that she's tips and pays and all that stuff. She doesn't. She commonly goes and just expects to be conked.
Look, the answer here is clear, and it's Puppy Lake. That's what needs to happen.
I say let London have her deal with her. They're good at dealing with loons over there with the Amy Winehouses and the George Michaels and stuff. Let them coddle her drug use and insanity.
It's probably a good idea.
Leave us be. Speaking of insanity, I don't know if you guys saw The Runaways open on Friday to fairly decent reviews. This is the movie, of course, about the legendary all-girl rock band from the 70s called The Runaways. Joan Jett famously was the lead guitarist for that band and the lead singer once Cherie Curry left. And she apparently was the executive producer on this movie as well. And a lot of people are complaining that the history of the band has been rewritten a touch.
Ooh.
For example, three of the band's bassists are sort of combined into one character for the movie, so people are complaining about that. But she said she's not worried about the film or even if it makes any money. Recent interview, she said, "The profit is when kids come up to me and say, 'You inspired me to pick up a guitar.' That's currency to me." All right, I'm going to remind you that when you're doing your All-Star Hits tour.
And that's extremely common to combine a long and convoluted history for movie making. I mean, to make it a better movie. Yeah. We don't need every band replacement in that film. It's not a documentary about the rock.
Joan Jett and Cherie Curry having lesbian sex. That's what the movie's about.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, Rodney Bingenheimer's in the movie. You know, the character of Rodney Bingenheimer. Rodney famously is a Los Angeles DJ here on our home flagship station of KROQ.
Talked to him about it last night.
Did you talk to Rodney about that? Did he see the movie?
Yeah.
Was he happy with how he was portrayed?
Oh, he was beaming out. I went to the premiere. It's not as good as the Germs movie portrayed me. That's what he told me.
I heard that a listener went and saw it this week and told me that the guy doesn't even like do Rodney, the guy who plays Rodney.
Really?
Just doesn't even sound like
him. He sounds
him,
like Hank Azaria.
Doesn't do him.
I was disappointed they didn't hire you to play Rodney. That would have been...
David King
I have to fast
it.
For a year, and you have to cut my legs off, but I could have played it. Sure.
And do meth to age yourself. Dave went to see it, and he said that the guy did a horrible voice. It didn't even try, like you said.
Man, that's disappointing. Because I was hoping for, you're Joan Jett, you're great. I love rock and roll.
You should have done it and just been yoked out Rodney.
Showed up. Giant Rodney. You want to be on television? Of course you do. Yeah. How about being in the Big Brother house? How'd you like to live in the Big Brother house? How'd you like to be there, huh?
Mm-mm.
Sounds like hell.
I'd like to live there.
Horrible.
I think Bean should go in the Big Brother house.
Oh, how great would that be? Be the greatest thing that ever happened.
Yes, because
being forced to live with strangers in a house and interact with them on a daily basis.
A man having a full mental breakdown would make totally compelling television, and that's exactly what would happen to Bean. Just meltdown.
Yeah. That would be awesome. All right, we're going to make this happen. Okay. Anyway, they're looking for people to live in the house. You can compete for $500,000 if you win. The open casting call is here in Los Angeles, Saturday, March the 27th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 650 North La Cienega Boulevard. For more information, you can go to cbs.com/bigbrother and get all the information. But they are having a live audition this Saturday for people to live in the Big Brother house. Hard to believe it. But Big Brother is now in their 107th season, so you get to be part of history.
What do you do at an audition for Big Brother? You just sit in a couch and smack talk the other people? I mean, say, what's involved?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. I'd like to live in a house, Kevin and Bean.
Oh, we got to make that happen.
I'm sure it's just like the
Don't
real world.
Don't try to deflect, Bean. You're going in.
I'm
Don't
not
try
the
to
guy.
Make someone else live there.
Come on, that would. You're right. I would hate it so much that you would find it entertaining.
Yes!
Of course. Yeah. And you'd start getting so angry, and you're great at belittling people and tearing them apart.
Yeah. But at some point, he would just, like, be in a fetal position, just rocking back and forth in the room, like a severely autistic
drooling.
Child. Oh, I'll be the best.
So when did your life stop being fun?
That's a great question.
I wish not to live here any longer. Where's the door? Today's celebrity birthday is William Shatner, one of the best. 79 years old today.
Spock, sabotage the system.
Sabotage. I say sabotage.
It's a sabotage, Will.
No, I say sabotage.
Bob Costas is 58 years old.
The Central African Republic is located in Central Africa.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if he's got one for everyone now.
Lena, I know. That's
Lena Olin is 55 years
old.
Let's go.
Whoa, only in America. Wow.
Oh, that's Larry King. That's not Lena Olin. You know, one was Sydney Bristow's mom in Alias.
Yes, right.
Oh, that's true.
She's great.
Matthew Modine is 51.
Nope.
You fail. Reese Witherspoon is 34 years old. And John Otto, drummer for Limp Bizkit, is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
One, two, three. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Funny man, movie star, international sex symbol, ladies and gentlemen, Rob Corddry.
Yeah! Hot Tub Time Machine. I disagree with one of those epitaphs.
You don't think you're funny?
We have to decide.
Exactly.
How the hell are you, Rob? Good to see you, man.
How are you?
I got to tell you, Ralph will back me up on this. It's been a long time since I've heard the halls abuzz as much as they are with the people on this show and in this station for a movie as they are for Hot Tub Time Machine. This
really?
One hits everybody. Well, this age, the people that work here, it's perfect for them. They can't wait to get to the theater and relive their childhoods.
It is. People that work at radio stations are our demographic, kind of. You know what I mean?
Tell us about this movie. It's the first time I've ever asked to go to a screening of a film. Because usually I don't like to see the movie, so I don't really ask. I asked this one. They said, would you like to see this movie early? And I said, yes, please, put me on your list. And they said, fine. And then they said, you know what? We just realized we don't have room for you on the list.
Oh, no.
I got rejected from a screen. Usually movie companies are dying to have me go to see their
I'll
movies.
I'll tell you what happens.
But there's so many people wanting to see this movie that they actually didn't have room for me. So I'm going to see it tomorrow night.
All right.
But that's how the buzz is. Like, people are desperate to see this film.
I hope you enjoy it. I think you will. Something tells me you will.
I think I will, yes. But this is kind of movie that could, in the wrong hands, be horrible.
Yeah,
I think we got really lucky.
I mean, just the title alone and the concept, it could have been, I mean, if you put, you know, Pauly Shore and Dane Cook and another bunch of guys in this movie.
I don't know. I think I'd like to see that film.
Could have been hideous.
I'd like to see that film.
But with you guys and with your director, it seems like you guys made it magical.
Wait, you wouldn't want to see the Wheeze get in a hot tub and go back in time?
No, I would not, sir.
I wouldn't want to pay for it, I'll tell you that.
See, right. I'd like to see him get into a tub and then go all the way down and not get out of that tub again.
Maybe I'd Netflix it.
Yeah.
Now, Rob, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this question. I feel like I'm asking you to speak for another actor here. But John Cusack, who's been one of my favorite actors forever, really has confused me in recent years with his choices. I never expected to see him in 2012. Ever in a million years did that look like a movie I would ever see him in.
Right.
I was really shocked to see him in Hot Tub Time Machine because he's kind of he's gotten away from comedy, and he's great at comedy, but he hasn't done so much for in a long time.
I know. Well, he pretty much will do, like, he shakes it up a lot, right? Yeah. Like, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't stick with the same thing. Craig and I were involved with Hot Tub Time Machine before he got in, and when they started pitching his name around, not like they had to pitch his name, like we're like, no! but when we heard that he was circling it, we were like, come on! What?
Was your fear they would take him on the cast and then recast your roles because you didn't make a star to be with John Cusack?
That happens all the time.
That's why I would have been nervous if I was
you. Yeah, definitely. A little bit of that. But also, I was very excited. Like, that's when it became something different,
right?
You know, like then we were like making. Then it almost became an homage to all the movies he was in, and
everything
changed. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, please, no offense, men at all, but you're a hilarious guy, but I don't go to you for great acting. And John Cusack is an actual great actor and a movie star.
Was in a movie called What Happens in Vegas. Okay,
yes, you
Oscar contender.
How dare you?
Meaning that it was eligible for an Oscar.
Exactly. All of these are eligible for
that.
Right?
I just saw Mr. Corddry on an episode of Law and Order last week, and he was excellent.
There you
go. He was
go.
Excellent.
So I am suck it, Bean.
Yeah, classically trained, my friend.
How about that?
Craig Robinson, of course, who we love, love, love. He's coming in later this week, in fact, to talk Hot Tub Time Machine. That's all I needed when I heard that he was going to be on. That guy's one of the funniest guys on the planet. Yep. I can't wait to see him in this movie.
He does not disappoint. He's great.
You and John and Craig and Clark
and
Duke.
Clark Duke.
Yeah.
And Chevy Chase.
Oh, come
Crispin
on.
Glover.
Crispin Glover?
Man, you have to tell us about working with him.
Crispin Glover.
He's crazy, right?
He's totally crazy.
I mean, insure a film if he's in it, I've heard.
He doesn't disappoint. Like, he's definitely nuts, but he's fun. Like, he's very charming. He's very well-dressed.
Well, that's good.
He goes to the gym wearing like Prada. It was interesting. We got into a discussion once. There's that elevator scene where he almost gets his arm cut off in an elevator, and he was like, I don't know if this is the kind of elevator that would be in this hotel. And we're like, oh God, here we go. But eventually, I guess it worked out.
They talked him into it.
Yeah.
he strikes me as the kind of guy who would not want to talk to other cast members in the movie. Was he not like that?
He was totally not like that.
Wow.
No, as a matter of fact, you'd be like, God, I'm still talking to Crispin Glover? Like, what world have I stepped into? No, he was awesome. He was definitely a weird dude. Like, he has a castle in Prague.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah. He wrote a book called Rat Catcher.
Now, yes,
a rat catcher is a word for an actor. It's a term for an actor. They used to call actors rat catchers back in Shakespearean times. And he, but no, this book is really about catching rats and skinning them and eating them.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah.
And doesn't he have a dentist chair or something in his living room, too? He's got some sort of weird, like, medical equipment going on in his house.
His toilet is probably a dentist chair. I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. We have many questions for Rob Corddry about Hot Tub Time Machine. It's opening this Friday everywhere. It really does look hilarious. And we've got more with Rob right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob Corddry is here. The film is called Hot Tub Time Machine. It opens up everywhere on Friday. The title is vague for me, Rob. I can't really tell what the movie's about. Help me out with that a little bit.
It's like Hurt Locker. No one really knows what it's referring
to. It's like Clockwork Orange.
It is. It's
a mystery.
You put it back on the viewer and make them decide, I guess.
And just as important a film, I think, as Hurt Locker.
So, I don't want you to give any of the secrets away of the film.
I die.
But
I'll give away secrets.
Do you and your mates know that it's a hot tub time machine, or is it bad surprise when you get in just thinking it's going to be some male bonding in hot water, and the next thing you know, you wake up in the 80s?
Which is a little gay, by the way.
Completely gay.
Yeah.
Clark Duke, actually, who's in the movie, has a hot tub and keeps trying to get me to actually come over to his place and go tubbing with him. Like, and he's serious. I have no interest whatsoever. I'm not a hot tub guy. But, there's a great scene where we realize at one point that this is not a retro weekend. Like, Alf is on the TV and Where's the Beef shirts are all over the place. And we realize that something's wrong and we're back in the 80s. And in our 16-year-old bodies.
So what you looked like in that era, that's what you looked like to everyone.
I had hair.
I didn't want to ask. I was assuming.
I know you. Right.
How fun must 1986 be, though, to live and work in as an actor? Just has to be a blast to be able to do all of that stuff in this film.
Oh, that was really fun. I thought you meant like to actually go back to 86 wouldn't be as much fun.
I'd pass.
Yeah, no thanks.
No.
But to see extras dressed up in 80s garb was fun and not unsexy.
Yeah, the chicks look pretty good in the 80s.
I look back. Yeah, really slutty.
A lot of spandex and leg warmers and big hair.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
Yep.
Let's take an unsolicited review from Kevin and Bean listener Matt, who is on line one. He wants to call in and talk to Rob. Hey, Matt, you're on the air with Rob Corddry, star of Hot Tub Time Machine. Go ahead.
Hey, I went to the world premiere. I won tickets from K-Rock, and it was way funnier than I ever expected it to be. I was hoping and was glad to see that it wasn't one of those movies where they put the funniest parts in the commercial.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
It was just hilarious, and it was really cool to, you know, watch a movie with the people in the movie. That was just kind of surreal. But it was hilarious. And, Rob, you were by far the funniest guy.
Funniest white guy, you mean?
Yeah.
Funniest white guy.
Okay, funniest white guy. Let's be clear.
Funniest bald white guy.
Yeah, okay.
That wasn't in Say Anything.
All right.
He didn't wear glasses.
Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Matt.
So
I got go in with low expectations. Is that what you got?
I guess.
From him?
Yeah.
Plus, he went for free.
He wasn't expecting much.
He went for free.
And he went for free.
Okay. The new trend now is putting all the moments you cut out of the movie into the trailer.
I've seen that too.
That's pretty much
You go to a movie looking for a moment that you really enjoyed in the trailer, and then you never see it because it never made it to the actual movie.
It's a great idea.
So disappointing.
Yes.
Rob, I have a clip from 30 Rock from this past week. I wasn't expecting to hear about the Hot Tub Time Machine on 30 Rock. What happened? Is this some sort of new marketing or what?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. I think the story I heard was that they called a couple months ago and were like, we'd like to, you know, write a bit about Hot Tub Time Machine. And you know, they said, yes, please.
All right.
Sure.
Write it.
Here's Liz Lemon. That's Tina Fey's character on 30 Rock coming out of a movie theater. And she's dating, what's his name? Michael Sheen, I guess.
Yes.
Is the character who's playing the guy that she's dating in the movie. They've just gone to see your film.
I'm sorry. You have a problem with the science of Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, not the time travel. It's the hot tub. You don't just turn one on and it's immediately hot. I should know. I've been in a hot tub two times.
Two times.
That's really funny. The movie opens everywhere on Friday. It does look hilarious. I'm so glad you stopped by, Rob. We're really excited about seeing the film. I don't want to be the guy to ask, but Hot Tub Time Machine 2, it has to happen, right?
Are you pitching
we'll
it
see
right
after
now?
Because I'll do it. Right? We'll have to see
it's
after
like
this
back
weekend.
To the future. They're going to go to the Old West.
Yeah, we're going to go to the Old West.
Yeah, that's the next stop.
I mean, maybe the 1880s. That was a fun time.
Rob, thank you for stopping by the Kevin DeBeach.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
I don't belong here. I don't belong
here. Hey! World famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. It's 938. You're listening to the Kevin DeBeach Show. By the way, Ralph, speaking of 30 Rock, that same episode where they shouted out the Hot Tub Time Machine.
We covered it.
I brought it in for you anyway.
Go Eagles! Philly rules, cheesesteaks, Bobby Clark, Will Smith. Your town sucks.
That's right.
Don't think that's a good little airplay last week.
So proud. Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome. She threw a snowball right at Alec Baldwin.
Peoples. And then he threw a battery right back, as all good person should. All right.
Time played the reggaeton horn.
Final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday. What the hell's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this week in Alice in Wonderland. $34.5 million made it number one. Again this weekend, Diary of a Wimpy Kid came in at number two with a hair over $21 million. A lot of people liked those books. A lot of people went to the movie. The Bounty Hunter was third. Repo Men was fourth. She's Out of My League is fifth. Green Zone, Shutter Island, Avatar, Our Family Wedding, Remember Me. Top 10 at the box office this weekend, thanks to Daily Variety. Also coming out of the trades today, as they're known in the show business world, Hollywood Reporter telling us that it looks like we have our Captain America people. We have the man who will play Captain America on the big screen.
Woohoo!
Looks like Chris Evans, who played the Human Torch in the two Fantastic Four movies, has the lead role in the upcoming Captain America movie, First Avenger.
Yummy.
Mike, why do you have to do that? What do you got to ruin everything?
I'm sorry.
There's no gay subtext here. He's just a superhero, Mike.
He does have a young sidekick named Bucky, though.
Who's going to be Bucky?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have Bucky in this movie or not. But the original Captain America had a Boy Wonder sidekick named Bucky. Who used to follow him around in a little outfit.
Ooh.
Cute.
I have very little familiarity with Captain America, so forgive me.
That's because you're a communist and you were born in another country.
Captain America rips. He is so awesome.
He does. But what I'm saying is, the Captain America in my mind, and again, I know nothing about anything, is an older guy, like a John Hamm type, an all-American John Hamm type, not a young Chris Evans type.
Well, that would be wrong, wouldn't it?
Okay. All right.
Captain America, the original Steve Rogers, who became Captain America, was a young man. It could have been more than the age of 20, 21 years old, who wanted to join the army after the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. He wanted to join up to fight the Axis powers in World War II.
Okay,
and he was a 4F, he couldn't, so they made him the source of this experiment where they're trying to make a super soldier with the serum they were injecting guys with, and he was the first successful super soldier. So he was a young dude who fought the Nazis in World War II, and then he was frozen in suspended animation and was thawed out later.
So
he's still in his 20s, is what I'm saying.
Okay, Captain America. Well, Chris Evans is a good choice then.
It is a good choice, because he's blonde and handsome and buff, and that's what we need our Captain America to be.
I seriously almost passed out. You're such a dork.
Come on! Captain America! America's right there in his name! How can you not love him? All right, Hollywood, let's put another name on the list of actors we don't want to see on television. I don't know how more strongly we can tell you than we already have, but Christian Slater has just been signed to play the lead in a new series on Fox. We don't want to see Christian Slater in television.
Yeah. And this makes how many series in a row that he's been on that have...
This would be his third in 3 years.
Wow.
He top-lined NBC's My Own Worst Enemy. Remember when he was a secret spy who didn't know that he was a spy because he had a split personality?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then he took over the lead on the ABC drama The Forgotten, which quickly was by the viewing public.
Yeah.
Now he has been cast as the lead in that is a yet untitled series on Fox about a team of 20-something geniuses who crack security systems.
Okay.
Slater will play the gruff ex-military leader of the team.
I think the big problem is that he's not that guy. Like, I see him more as like someone who could be in Californication. You know, or a show like that. You know, where you like the over-the-hill kind of bachelor, boozy, looking for chicks.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, he's always this secret agent or this mastermind of something, you know, espionage and all this stuff.
Yeah, they should give him like some wry comic sort of role where he plays sort of a Lothario down in his luck. I see what you're saying. His most successful TV role to date, in my opinion, was when he played himself on the Larry David show,
yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. We played Christian Slater, who ate all the caviar at the hors d'oeuvre table.
That's right.
And Larry got obsessed because he was eating all the all the hors d'oeuvres. And they got into it. It was like a big fight. It was the best role he'd played on television. So we'll have to wait and see. And speaking of guys who are maybe past their prime, Ralph Macchio's in the news.
What?
He, of course, was the original Karate Kid. He's getting a lot of press now because the remake of Karate Kid is about to hit screens at theaters near you. So people are asking him about The Karate Kid after all these years, and he says, to this day, at least once a day, when he's walking down the street, someone comes up to him with wax on and wax off.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? It's been over 25 years since that movie was in theaters. Can you imagine for 25 years people saying to you, wax on, wax off?
I would just quit at that point.
Life?
No, but there's no sense trying to lose that.
Well, he said he's beyond, you know, really being upset about it, but... He says it's a daily occurrence for him.
That's amazing.
So the question then is it better to have that one touchstone role that everybody knows, or is it better to have escaped that and have no success?
But, you know, he's been on, well, not that you care, but he's been on Ugly Betty as a semi-regular, so he is working.
I will headbutt you, Ugly Betty.
Listen, he was 22 years old when he played Ralph Macchio, or Daniel LaRusso.
Who was supposed to be 15 or something in the movie, right?
And I don't know if he ever even believed that it could be as big a phenomenon as it was. He should be very happy that he had that role and lucked out, because most likely he wouldn't have been a famous guy at all if he wasn't the Karate Kid.
But I would give up being a famous guy for that 2 or 3 years and whatever money I got back then when I made those movies to not have somebody come up to me in 2010 and say wax on, wax off. I would hate that.
You would take 25 years of a-holes coming up saying wax off every day of your life.
As opposed to having a career?
Well, he doesn't have a career now.
I'm telling you, he does.
This isn't a guy.
He's got some career.
He doesn't.
Do you think he still makes money off that?
No, that's even the worst part.
Certainly not.
Oh,
no,
that's too bad.
I feel bad for the dude. I really do. I mean, I know there's upside downside to getting into show business, and this proof of this.
I mean, let's think of a young actor who had a reasonable amount of success, but then went on to further success, you know?
Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, for example. For people come up to him for 25 years and say, hey, Opie, or hey, what's the Fonzie doing, Richie Cunningham? It doesn't matter to him, because he's a hugely successful director, producer in his own right. And he's got a lot of stuff going on.
True.
So I'm sure he doesn't care when people come up and say Opie, because he does have a career. He's got something going on.
Is he really complaining about this? Or?
Yes! No, he said how much he loves it. For the past 25 years, people still come up to him and say, wax on, wax off. He gets such a thrill out of it every time someone does it.
He's just saying he's kind of curious that this movie
is. It's horrible.
I was on Betty, too.
Hey, my cousin Vinny, remember that? I was in a movie 15 years ago. Look at my career soar.
He woke up last week and was jealous of Corey Haim for Getting Out. That's what I'm saying to you.
That's what I'm saying.
No, it's true, though.
Now you've gone too far.
Of course,
Once again, you've gone too far. And congratulations to NBC's Days of Our Lives. You watch the stories? Do you watch the soap operas?
No,
I don't. No.
It's just been renewed for its 45th season.
Oh, my God!
45 years on television.
Unbelievable.
It's NBC's last remaining soap opera.
45 years on the air, not once did they have a role for little Ralph Macchio.
No, they did not. But I'll have you know, I was on Days of Our Lives.
Were you?
Really? Really?
Were you cronky?
I was not cronky. No, that was my ABC after school special. But I had a little recurring role. I did a week on Days of Our Lives. I had a couple episodes of that, yeah.
Do you attribute their longevity to your appearance?
Marlene and Roman Brady were the two stars at the time. And I was the head of a resort hotel where they were staying.
Huh.
So there you go. I probably had a lot to do with it. Probably kept watching. They kept waiting for my character to come back.
Overall, is it a good experience as an actor to work on those?
A soap?
Yeah.
Soaps are great. Yeah. Soaps are great. It's an easy day, and the pay is really good. I can see why people spend their entire lives doing it.
Yeah.
It's like going into an office. You get there at a decent hour, like 8 o'clock, you roll in, get yourself some coffee, run your lines, shoot your stuff, you're out by 5, 6 o'clock. It's like having a real, real job.
Okay, my opinion is that you didn't make sense just now.
It's a pretty sweet cake. They never invited me back. I was on another soap opera called Generations. God, I hope no one can ever find video of this. I was the maitre d' at a French restaurant on Generations.
People. Did you have a French accent?
I had to have a French accent. And it was horrible. I can't imagine why they hired me for it. It's pretty spectacular. Your table is ready now. Today's celebrity birthday is William Shatner, 79 years old today. Sportscaster Bob Costas celebrates his 58th birthday. Lena Olin is 55. Matthew Modine is not only two members of Jiminy Glick's family, Morgan Mason, Matthew and Modine, but also an actor in his own right. He is 51. Lindsay, nope, Reese Witherspoon, I don't know where Lindsay came from. She is 34 years old today. And John Otto, drummer of Limp Bizkit, is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget to join us tomorrow morning for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I'm very excited about this, not just because she's way hot, but we're doing Ask a Flight Attendant on tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show. Have you guys seen this Nicole from Fly Girl?
Have I seen her?
I
haven't. We're on a first-name basis. What? King of Mexico and I are on a first-name basis with these broads. We met them at the Grammy Roundtable.
Is she the one that felt you up?
We don't know. We don't know that. It didn't just fill me up. It gave me a prostate exam, practically.
Yes.
But
how can you not know?
Because
it might have been Dave?
Well, here's the story. We took a picture with the group of girls
that
are on the show.
Yeah. All the fly girls?
And we all had our arms around each other. And the camera was malfunctioning, so there was a little bit of a break. Uh-huh. And during that time, someone started vulgarly grabbing my ass. And I just assumed it
Did
was...
Did you find Dave's hands, by the way?
I assumed it was one of the guys that works here at the station screwing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And when the picture was done, I turned and looked, and there was no one around. And so it had to be one of these girls, but I don't know which one.
Okay.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. Nicole's coming in. She is on this reality show about Virgin American
way
flight
hot,
attendants.
Way hot chick.
And, very way attractive. Hot. Yeah. And she will be answering your questions that we've all had about flying these days. So that'll be fun. Also, Ralph, you got a little something special for the Twilight New Moon kids tomorrow, right?
Yeah. The DVD came out this weekend. Mm. Huge, right? Huge event. There were viewing parties and stuff. Everybody went nuts because New Moon came out on DVD. We're going to go through the commentary section
of
the DVD
nice.
To find out a little bit about the behind-the-scenes making of Twilight New Moon.
Excellent.
All of that tomorrow morning right here. Come on back for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Now, I'm very excited to hear Kat, because Kat has been in Texas for a week.
I talked to her last week, and she sounded like this.
Here's the clip. I'm sure you played it a lot last week of Dave getting Kat on the phone for that interview.
Hey, Kat.
Again?
Hey, Kat.
So she is back in the state of California, and we'll find out how she's doing coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. How about some Oasis as part of that? Pearl Jam, Weezer, new music from Gorillaz, Pumpkins, and more next on K-Rock.